Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Bean.
I like our Saturday open.
I still don't know who that is.
You still haven't found out whose voice that is?
No, I heard Stephanie Menendez, outstanding upper management at WGN, doing Justin Kaufman's open last night.
So it's not her?
It's not, well, unless she's really changing her voice around, and they've got a lot of upper-level technological things up there. I suppose it's possible.
Well, it sounds like Duff put some kind of effect on the voice anyway.
Yeah, that would be a voice that you would think is not completely natural.
Well, as you did hear in that open, no matter who it is whose voice is on it, this is Adam Hogue. This is Mark Carmen. This is The Beat. It's a busy Saturday, busy, cold, miserable. What is with the weather? I'm standing out there at Hallis Hall today on the practice fields that Antrell Roll doesn't like. More on that in the show later as John Fox responded to those comments.
Uh-oh. Adam Hogue's personal life is being ruined by the weather. 312-981-7200. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, you can hear that conversation every week on this show.
Yes. I'm going to try to wean you off of your weather and life. What do they call that? First world problems over there? Are you in first world problems?
I don't know if the weather is like a first. Is that a first world problem?
Do you think somebody in the middle of the jungle who's looking for a snake to eat tonight and has no dollar in the pockets would be complaining about the weather? Man, it's hot here. It's really hot right now. It's super hot. Would they be putting that out on Twitter?
Play the ultimate weather trump card on me. Right away.
I got to go. Hey, I'm coming in hard today.
It is May 14th, and it was 45 degrees today at Hallis Hall when I'm watching a bunch of rookies. Glad they're living their dream, getting a chance to put the C on for one weekend. But like 70% of those guys out there today are never going to play in the NFL.
Did Moon Mullen complain? Did Adam Johns complain? How many people?
Everybody. Look, we're media members in Chicago. What do we do?
It's really a great lesson into what Chicago media. All they do is just stand around. Oh, the game's taking too long.
Okay, that is something I'll never do, though.
It's so.
I love my job. I'll never take my job for granted. That bothers me when there are reporters who complain about how long a game is.
Which happens every single game that you go to.
Now, if it's a bigger, more general conversation about the length of baseball games, which I do think is somewhat of a problem just for fans, that's a different thing. But if you're just working and you're like, why is it still the fifth inning?
Right. Quit. Do something else. Get a real job.
Yeah, fine.
By the way, 6-2 Chicago Cubs on top of the Buccos. We're in the bottom of the sixth. If anything happens in any baseball game in this city, you will find out about it right here, right when it happens. We are on top of it. Just know that.
Like this, that the White Sox already lost today. They lose 2-1. Jose Quintana pitched great. White Sox just couldn't get enough offense going today. You lose, you try to win tomorrow.
I was thinking about you last night, though.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Isn't that adorable? Because, you know, you last week, if memory serves, we were at the Derby, right? We were at Howells and Hood. Was that last Saturday or was that two Saturdays
ago? We were
ago?
Not at the Derby. We were at Howells and Hood.
But that was last
for
Saturday.
For a Derby party.
Right.
And that was last Saturday.
And you did start the show attacking me because I didn't realize that the White Sox were a topic.
Team in the city.
Right. Yeah, I kind of was like, well, we can't do baseball to start the show because the Cubs are playing. You're like, the Sox play at 7 o'clock. Why can't we talk about the White Sox? Which was a very fair criticism.
Thank you.
I absolutely deserved it. But so Chris Sale last night picks up his 8th win of the year in as many starts, by the way. 8 starts, 8 wins, 8-0. And we have music for
Thank you,
too.
This is a great song.
Right. Sox beat the Yankees 7-1. Chris Sale, complete game. His second of the year. 99 pitches for a complete game. 71 strikes. Do you know how ridiculous that is?
It's very ridiculous.
I mean, that's some absurd ridiculousness. That's the fewest number, Adam Hogue. Fewest number of pitchers that Sale has thrown in a start this year, and it was a complete game. You want more stats?
Sure.
3 pitches on average per batter.
Love that stat.
Right?
That's like Greg Maddux.
That's the second lowest in his career, which spans 124 starts. 14 batters were retired on the first or second pitch. But leave me by the way out there. I know that you can get bogged down in the numbers. But, I mean, these numbers are so ridiculous that we all should just, let's all try to be present and feel the numbers. Sale threw 75% of his fastballs in the strike zone. That's the highest percentage in his career.
Wait, say that again. 75% of his fastballs.
Yes.
In the strike zone.
Three out of every four fastballs he threw yesterday. Bam, strike. Bam, strike. Bam, strike. And then a ball.
Love it.
The point being, the dude's getting better. He's better.
Yeah.
And he was ridiculous before. So
last night was one of the easiest nights to watch a baseball game the night before you have a radio show. You know, like, I'm trying to get ready for the show. I want to make sure I know what's going on with the Cubs during the day, White Sox at night. It's the end of the third inning. The White Sox are winning 7-1. Chris Sale is ridiculously in total control. My wife goes, can we watch Parenthood?
Yes, we can.
I go, yes, we can watch Parenthood for the rest of the night. We won't miss a thing. Sure enough, 2 hours later, check in, final score, 7-1. Didn't miss a single thing.
Old school Steve Martin Parenthood or like this TV show
Parenthood? No, it's old now, it's like over, but she's on a little bit of a Netflix thing.
It's a good move. Netflix is a winner.
Teaser for later in the show, too. I have a kind of a big life change.
Really?
That has to do with television that I'm going to drop on you later on the show.
Ooh.
And I actually really want to hear what our listeners have to say about it.
Sounds like someone's bailing on cable. I just heard a bail cable. That's what I... And now I'm seeing a smile. Carmen on top of it today. All right.
No need to tune in now for the rest of the show.
When we come back, I've got more Sale for you. But the best moment of the week in sports happened at a White Sox baseball game. It didn't necessarily involve. Actually, it didn't.
It did?
It did not involve. Yes, it did. We're gonna play it for you coming back. So if you go anywhere, we'll find you and we'll beat you up. Last stop, the Big Apple. The Southsiders. That'd be the White Sox. They look to slam the door on the Yankees as they close out their series in New York. White Sox, Yankees tomorrow at noon. On WGN TV, they're going for 2 out of 3. Starlin Castro, for people who wonder about the Yankees like I do, 0-4 today with 3 Ks.
Ooh.
That makes me feel good. As much as I like Starlin, but I can't. This whole 350 Starlin best player in baseball thing. I was like, the jealousy was
it
rising
ended
up
pretty quick though.
Yeah, he's still doing well, but he's at least it's back to like regular Starlin. All right, the best moment in all of baseball happened this week around the White Sox. We're gonna play it for you next.
This is 720 WGN.
Not afraid to take a whack at it. Drive right field, way back toward the wall. She's gone. 3-run homer. Bouncley, 3-2.
Here's Todd. Yeah, tough at bat is. Or that ball hit hard, deep. Way back. Gardner looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Number 12 for Todd, and it's a 2-1 ball game.
Highlights courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet, WGN TV. That's Cubs and White Sox today. Sox lost 2-1 to the Yankees. ABC 7. Cubs now leading, as I'm looking at ABC 7 right now, 6-2, top of 7, one out. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Adam Hoge. This is The Beat, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We've got some UFC talk coming for you right after the 3:30 news. Mike Dice, UFC MMA expert, will be in studio from Fansided. Yes.
I want to be clear, because I don't want to just say, hey, we're talking UFC here on WGN Radio and everyone's about to turn off their radio. This is a UFC for Dummies segment. And the first dummy in that group of dummies is me. Because I am not a UFC guy. I don't know anything about the sport. I don't try to know anything about the sport. And I know that there's a fight tonight. I believe it's UFC 198.
That's
fights,
correct.
Probably, plural. More than one.
There is a title card. Dice will.
This is why we're having Dice in here.
Dice.
And I'm going to ask him the most basic questions. Yeah, we'll get into that after the 3:30 news,
and we'll have an opportunity for you to win something for the UFC fans out there that are actually in the know. If you can prove,
which we know you're out there,
we do, and so you know you can prove your knowledge. Yeah. You're going to be included in the conversation too. You're going to learn something even for the most diehard that you didn't know. But so let's wrap up the baseball for now, and we'll do a bunch of baseball later in the show as well.
And I should say this is our North Side South Side report. Brought to you by Vienna Beef.
The best moment of the week in baseball. It wasn't a Cubs win. It wasn't a White Sox win. It happened on Wednesday. The White Sox were playing the Texas Rangers. There was a pop-up hit to Todd Frazier, and this is what unfolded.
Jammed him, ate him up. Todd, long way to go. Watch out, he goes in.
I think he made the catch.
And made the catch. Did he hang on?
But he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt.
It was a spectacular effort, and this is a real, real bad sight. The wind is taking this one away from him. He knows exactly where he is. Wow, it looked like he hit his mouth right on the seat. When we find out...
I'm going downstairs. You take over, okay?
Now, that is real. That is real. Todd Frazier cracked his mouth into a seat. He got 5 stitches. He's okay. But Hawk Harrelson, who is just the most spectacular broadcaster ever, right? He left the booth.
Yeah.
He legit left.
He put his headset down. You could hear him put the headset down. And he walked down to the clubhouse to find out what was wrong with Todd Frazier.
Can you imagine being Todd Frazier? You're in the clubhouse. You're bleeding. Herm Schneider, trainer of the Sox, yeah, or whoever's around you. And here comes Hawk through the door. Todd, you all right? What, like, if you're Frazier, like, aren't you broadcasting the game? What are you doing?
But, okay, but...
It's so good.
Now, isn't it true, though, that Comcast put him on from downstairs in the clubhouse?
Hawk?
Yes. To explain what was wrong.
I mean, that's a great job by Comcast and the producers to realize that, oh my God, our lunatic broadcaster just left. But I don't think the plan... I don't think Hawk got it in his ear, right? That, like, hey, go down there and get some info.
Okay.
We'll put you on.
Okay. But so do you have a problem with what he did?
Do I have a problem? No, I think it's just glorious.
Well, first of all, it's classic Hawk. Vintage Hawk. Love it. I also love it, though, that he actually went and got the information. I mean, this guy was getting killed on Wednesday and Thursday from others in this town, like, mad that, oh, you can't leave your booth. That's your job, to stay in the booth.
Like it's the military? You're leaving your post.
Okay, first of all, Steve Stone knows how to do play-by-play. Second, the most important thing that was going on in the game right now, at that moment, was the health of maybe your best player, Todd Frazier. Maybe your most important player, Todd Frazier. Okay?
What you left out there, too, is Steve Stone was probably thrilled when he left the booth.
Well, he probably wasn't.
You could stay down there.
Yeah. But who else was going to go get that information? Because they didn't have a sideline reporter in Texas. And
they do have these things like media relations.
Yeah, people. But what do they tell you? First of all, they don't give you an update until after the game.
I ain't gonna rely on Bob Bechtol to get me that. I'm going down myself.
Well, let me tell you, as a Sox fan.
Yes.
I was driving in the car home from here, actually, when this was happening, and Ed Farmer, like, was really upset about, like they were, like, really worried about him. So as somebody listening to the game, I'm worried about him, right?
Sure.
So I get home, and the first thing I do is I turn on the TV to find out if there's any more information, and that is exactly when Hawk is explaining that it's not a big deal. His tooth went through his lip, got a couple stitches. He's going to be just fine. Okay? As a fan, that's what I wanted to hear. I don't care about who's doing play-by-play, who's not doing play-by-play. I just want to know if Todd Frazier's okay. Hawk was the only one that went and got that information. The only one who could have gotten that information, because the reporters aren't allowed in the clubhouse. I'm surprised even Hawk is allowed in the clubhouse in the middle of the game.
He's Hawk.
But if you're allowed to be there, good for him.
I'm completely with you. I think it's hysterical and unprecedented that the broadcaster would leave. But as far as, like, do I have a problem with him leaving? Not at all.
But a lot of people did.
Well, because everybody wants to be angry about something, right? He shouldn't have left. What a that's so.
Well, you should see. So I tweeted out on it was Wednesday night, I think. I tweeted out, like,
at Adam Hogue.
I love what Hawk did. You know, something along those lines. I love that Hawk went and got the information. That's what mattered. And, like, my Twitter blew up. Everyone was so mad at me.
Well, see,
like, everyone was like, are you serious? You can't be serious. He's not allowed to leave the booth. What are you talking about? And I'm like, okay, all right. A lot of Cubs fans getting after me right now who hate Hawk. And guess what? Well, when Kyle Schwarber ran into Dexter Fowler and no one knew how serious that was, I bet you would have loved to get that kind of update from one of the Cubs broadcasters.
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to back you up just 1 second there. A lot of White Sox fans get super irritated with Hawk.
And they there are some of them, too.
And I'm like, how are you not realizing this guy is a treasure, man? They don't come along. Once he's gone, you're not going to get another one. Jason Benetti does a great job, but Jason Benetti is a professional broadcaster, just like every other broadcaster in all of baseball that all sound, with all due respect to all of them, very professional and very talented and very smooth, but they all sound the same. It's the identical broadcast. So, because you can't be Hawk Harrelson and get hired in the booth nowadays. If you have,
they don't hire that guy anymore.
That guy's not getting hired. Harry Carey's not getting it hired. So the longer this guy holds on, like, he doesn't even sound to me, and we got to take a break, we'll get Mike Dyson here. He doesn't even sound to me nearly as engaged now that he's doing only half the games. I don't know if you hear that. To me, he sounds borderline, when I'm listening, and you know, I haven't watched every White Sox game, but I've watched my fair share. He just sounds a little bit less interested that he's not there every single day and that involved in the team. And that, to me, sucks. Like, I like when
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I think he's been fine.
I hope I'm wrong.
And I've enjoyed the switching between the two.
Benetti does a good job.
I think Stoney sounds different.
Oh, Stoney.
Depending on whether it's a home or road game.
I bet he, of course he does.
He's still doing a great job, by the way. Love Stoney.
Gotta love Stoney.
A little bit of different vibe.
All right, quick time out for the news, and then we'll get our UFC Mike Dice, fan-sided MMA expert in here. 720 WGN. We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
They move to the eighth at Wrigley, 6-2. Jake Arrieta trying to catch up with Chris Sale, two best pitchers in baseball, right here in Chicago. Arrieta still on the mound in the eighth. He's at 97 pitches. I'm Mark Carmen. You are Adam Hogue, and this segment was your idea.
It was my idea. I don't know anything about mixed martial arts or the UFC. I really don't. I've never watched it. I've seen highlights, and I hear about it all the time. I know it's a popular sport. I would never argue that it's not. So I said, well, why don't we bring someone in who knows what they're talking about and explain it to us? Like, this is UFC 101 to us. Like, get in the classroom, find out what this is. So Mike Dice from Fansided is here. And
he's killed people in the ring. Do they call it the ring? What do they call it? The octagon? The cage? What is it called?
They call it in MMA they call it the cage, but the UFC it's the octagon. Whereas, like, if you go to another promotion like Bellator, there's this round, while the UFC's is an actual octagon shape.
Do you understand any of that, Hope?
No. What is Bellator?
What is Bellator? See,
it's like it's a different promotion, just like the UFC, just a different promotion.
So is MMA like the sport, and UFC would be like the league within the sport?
Correct.
Okay. Like, I'm not kidding. Our listeners driving around, some are probably like, what? And some are probably like, wow, Adam, you sound like an idiot. And I am going to sound like an idiot throughout the next 20 minutes or so of radio.
Well, you're going to learn something. We're going to all learn something. And UFC is rapidly, rapidly growing. More and more people are watching it. And if you're a UFC expert or even just want to learn and you want to win something, you can call right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We got a pair of tickets to the soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field. That's July the 27th. Best question about the UFC, determined by UFC expert Mike Dice. You will get the two tickets. So you got to ask a UFC question and make it
sound somewhat intelligent.
Right. So, okay. Let's start at the top. UFC started, what, 1993? Is that correct?
93, 92, something like that, yeah.
Okay, and who's the biggest name in the history? I know that right now Conor McGregor is the biggest name going now, but, like, would that be the Michael Jordan of the whole thing, or would you go back to, like, some, like, Chuck Liddell? Do you know that name?
I've heard that name.
Yeah, somebody else.
Conor McGregor wouldn't be anywhere close to the Michael Jordan. You'd probably go to somebody like Hoyce Gracie. If you're looking for the Michael Jordan, that'd be maybe Anderson Silva or John Bones Jones. Somebody along those lines. Maybe even Demetrius Johnson you can make an argument for. But, like, Hoyce Gracie was the guy who won the first UFC, and he's kind of viewed as an icon in the sport.
Okay, so how does this whole sport work? I know that's, like, a very general... Okay, so when I hear tonight is UFC 198...
Correct.
What does that mean?
It's the 198th pay-per-view event.
Okay.
So they have pay-per-view events, and then they have on-TV events. So the pay-per-view events are always the bigger... most more noteworthy events, and they do that about once a month.
So there's like one every month, and right. they're just numbered. And so is there just like usually, is it like boxing where you have a bunch of undercard and then there's like one big?
Yeah, usually there's like 12, 13 fights on a card. There'll be three different portions of the card. There's two prelim cards. The first one's usually streamed online, and the second one's like on Fox Sports, and then the main card will be on pay-per-view for tonight. And usually the fights have a marquee bout at the in the headlining one. The pay-per-views is kind of when they reserve the title bouts for. You won't normally see a title bout on outside of a pay-per-view without the, with the exception of a few events. Like, they'll do some ones on Fox.
So what are you not allowed to do in the ring? Like, can you, I mean, it's this is a whole, everything seems to go, but can you, like, can you gouge someone's eye? Can you pull a hair? Can you, I mean, what is off limits? Is there anything off limits?
So you cannot eye gouge. You cannot pull someone's hair. You can't fish hook, when you put your finger inside someone's mouth and like pull their lip or cheek.
That sounds fair.
You can't. no shots below the belt, but there's other more technical things. You can't do what's 12-6 elbows, which is when you have like your elbow and you come straight down on somebody. If your opponent's on the ground and you want to use your elbow as a weapon, you have to kind of come in at an angle or from the side. You also can't do a soccer kick, which is like if somebody's on the ground, you can't kick them in the head if they're on the ground. So a lot of times opponents will put their hand when they're like kind of kneeling on the ground, so that way you can't kick them.
So what happens if you do any of those things? Like, do you get a yellow card?
Well, I like a yellow card. See, I like the soccer tie.
I did that on
purpose. It depends on what happens. Like, if it's an eye poke or something, if it's accidental, they'll stop the fight and allow somebody some time to recover. If it's a repeated thing, they'll take a point because they have the same boxing scoring, 10-9. So they'll take a point away, so somebody will lose a point in the round scoring. Or in some extreme cases, like with John Jones and his 12-6 elbows, the only fight he ever lost was a result of a disqualification for using 12-6 elbows. So they'll actually stop a fight and award the victory to your opponent.
312-981-7200. Best question to Mike Dice of Fansided on UFC and MMA. You will win two tickets to Bayern Munich, AC Milan at Soldier Field, July the 27th. So, okay, you look at, you said no fish hooking. What, you said no biting, but I will see when I watch highlights, guys will be on the ground and they'll just be getting wailed on until some referee comes flying in and ends the fight. So basically, you have free license to near kill someone until the ref comes in. Like, that's like the standard procedure. Is that right?
Well, you make it sound so graphic, but it's kind of, but not really.
Well, when I'm watching, it's pretty terrifying what's going on.
What the referee is looking for in a situation, like if an opponent's on the ground and he's just landing a barrage of punches, is whether or not he's intelligently defending himself. If the opponent's lying on the ground and he's got his hands up in his face and he's trying to block the punches, the referee will let it continue to go on. But if there's like a moment where the hands drop or go away from his face and you can tell that he's no longer intelligently defending himself or he's no longer capable of defending himself, they'll step in and stop the fight. Or if they think there's a risk of injury, they'll stop in and stop the fight.
Albert's looking for some tickets to the soccer match. He's got a big-time question. Maybe he'll win. Albert, you're on 720 WGN talking to Mike Dice of Fanside UFC. What's your question?
Hey, guys. So you guys were talking about how it's like UFC 198 tonight. I wanted to know, how many times in a given year does a premier fighter fight? In boxing, it's like twice a year, but how often could Conor McGregor fight from January to December?
Good question, Albert. Hang on there, pal. See if you're the winner.
That is a good question. They fight about the same amount of time. Conor McGregor fought three times in 2015. Ronda Rousey fought three times in 2015, and both of those were, more than average, but it kind of depends on how you fall in the year and what months you fall in. Like, Conor McGregor fought in January, July, and December, so he was able to spread three fights out, whereas Ronda Rousey tried to do it in a much more compact time frame, fighting in February, August, and November.
Albert dropped off, so it's kind of hard to win the tickets if you're...
Yeah, call back Albert or anybody else who wants to challenge Albert's question, 312-981-7200.
So why should I plunk down the money for one of these fights?
I mean, it's theater. It's excitement. It's
I guess what the thing I struggle with, and the same thing for box. I mean, from what I've seen from the sport, it's more exciting than boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the fight last year? The Mayweather
Pacquiao
fight. I mean, thank God I didn't pay for that. But that was one of the most boring hours. It probably wasn't even an hour.
I bet you Dice does not agree with you on that.
Well,
I thought it was so boring. Like, I remember getting to like the fifth round and being like, who paid for this? Because I'm not contributing any money. Like, because we went to my buddies, and I told him in the middle of the fight, I go, I am not giving you a dime for this fight. This is awful.
I love angry Adam Hogue. It's my favorite Adam Hogue. Go ahead. What do you think about that take?
I mean, the MMA fan would argue that you, in any sport, you'll have a boring game and a more entertaining game. You know?
Okay. But I don't have to pay for those.
That's true. But
unless
you
you're
have
like
to
paying
pay
for an NFL Sunday ticket.
You don't have to pay for every UFC fight either.
Okay.
If you think about it that way, there's a lot on TV. And then in reality, only five of the fights are on pay-per-view tonight.
Okay, but I don't want to argue with you. But like the biggest NFL games.
Sounds like you do.
Are okay, but they're free on Monday night, Sunday night, Monday night football.
Thursday
night
football.
You know, the big, and the playoffs are all free. The Super Bowl is free. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess that's. I'm just, for someone like me, who and I say this to Carm all the time about the NBA, like, I should be your target fan if you're trying to grow your sport, because I don't watch a whole lot of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch, so I'm interested. That's why I wanted to have you in here, Mike, and learn about this sport. But it's like, if you're going to make it hard for me to watch, or as I complained to Carmen last week, great game two between the Spurs and Thunder, then I had to wait 4 days to get to game three. Like, I wanted to actually watch that game, but why wasn't it Wednesday? I lost interest by Friday.
More angry Adam Hogue and impatient Adam Hogue.
Impatient Adam Hogue. Want to spend a lot of money on things I feel like I shouldn't have to pay for.
Well, I think part of the intrigue for an MMA fan is that you know the storylines that are building up to a fight that and that provides a different angle or perspective or lens to look at the fight. So, like, if you were to tune into the fight tonight, you have no idea who any of the people are. And you're just watching people fight, and you're trying to find a way to be entertained, whereas, like, a person who follows it somewhat casually is more aware of what's going on. Like, the guy fighting the heavyweight title tonight, his name's Stipe Miocic. He's the challenger. He's from Cleveland. He's, like, the first athlete who could end Cleveland's title drought in years, and it's his first title shot. But the theater part of it is, at UFC 185 in January, you know, he was being overlooked for a title shot, and he won in dramatic fashion, knocking out a guy who used to train in Chicago in under a minute. Then he runs over to the cage, looks directly into Dana White, who's the president. That's like Roger Goodell would be for the NFL.
Okay.
And basically demanded a title shot and yelled at him from the cage. And he got it. And stuff like that makes it an interesting storyline for a fan. Now, for somebody who's not necessarily a fan of the sport or new and doesn't know the storylines, I mean, they call it the most purest sport that there is because it's just combat. And every person can relate to that and understand it. You know, like, you can watch and you know if somebody's losing or winning.
Right, yeah.
Because you know somebody's getting their behind whooped or not. And from that side of it, it's just to see somebody who's trained 3 months to prevent somebody from manhandling them like this, and then to see somebody manhandle somebody like that who's, you know, one of the best fighters in the world is fascinating. And it becomes a little bit of a chess match, particularly in the cage, like when they're on the ground or when they're standing up, trying to set traps and lure in opponents to, you know, find chokes or strikes that'll finish the fight.
312-981-7200. Mike Dice, fansided, fansided.com. You want to check out his MMA stuff. There's a whole lot of it. Best question, two tickets to Bayern Munich, AC Milan, Soldier Field, July the 27th. Bunch of people want to talk MMA. Look at that on WGN. John, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question about what's the dominant or amongst the premier fighters, what's the dominant background these guys have? Is it boxing? Is it wrestling? Is it mixed, you know, is it martial arts? What's
good question, John. Trend? Hang on. We'll see what we got here.
John, I like that question. Don't stay on hold. We're going to take some other questions. We'll determine which one was the best. Well, Mike's going to determine which one was the best. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it varies. It seems like there's trends all the time in the sport. That one thing, you know, a big thing right now is wrestlers. There's a lot of people who have wrestling backgrounds, both Olympic and collegiate, who are going into the sport. But it really depends on the fighter. You know, jiu-jitsu was what started the big craze when Hoist Gracie came in at UFC 1, and he showed that this it's kind of similar to wrestling for those who don't understand it. It involves being on the ground, but it allows you to use your body in such a way where a smaller person can take on a much larger opponent and control them. So historically, throughout the whole sport, I would probably say jiu-jitsu.
Okay, makes sense. All right, for everyone on hold, 312-981-7200, stay there.
And we got an RBI single from Chris Bryant, scoring Dexter Fowler, Cubs 7, the Pirates 2. We'll do Cubs post after the game, but more questions from Mike Dice coming back here as we break down UFC and we're just building up your sport.
We're trying to understand it.
Yeah,
this is good.
And we're learning, yes.
All right.
720 WGN. 720 WGN, Anthony Rizzo, an RBI single. 8-2 Cubs, 2 outs, bottom 8, Cubs post, White Sox post. After some, well, we have a great guest coming up for you after 4 o'clock. The man that went at it with Tim Floyd, a radio host, who got in a screaming match, which is going to be great at 4:10. But Mike Dice, fan-sided in the studios. We're talking MMA and UFC with your opportunity to win tickets to a soccer match July 27th at Soldier Field. Should turn off your phone before you do a radio show, Mark Carmen. That would be me.
That would be you. Let's keep it going with the phone calls. Want to make sure we get all these in the next few minutes. Let's start with Bill here. You're on 720 WGN.
I know back in the day, the sport used to get a lot of blowback for violence, broken limbs, things like that. And now we're living in an era where football has concussion protocols. Is the sport being banned anywhere because of the level of violence or protested at all?
That's a
good question, Bill.
Good question. Actually, the last state in the United States that had banned MMA was New York, and recently they just legalized it. So now it is legal in all 50 states, and they're going to be doing a event in Madison Square Garden, I believe, in November. It'll be the first UFC event in the history of New York. So,
where are these events usually held? In Vegas?
More often than not, the pay-per-views are in Vegas. The shows that are on Fox Sports or UFC on Fox tend to be traveling ones. Like, there will be a fight in Chicago in July.
Okay. Adam, you're on 720 WGM.
Hello?
Adam, you're on.
Hi. I just had a question regarding Bruce Lee in the MMA. Is he regarded as one of the godfathers for the MMA since he implemented a bunch of different techniques? And how do you think he would fare today against contemporary fighters? Would he just be neutralized because of the ground game?
Bring back Bruce Lee. Good question, Adam.
He's definitely revered within MMA and the UFC. They've even added him as a special character in the UFC video game. So he's obviously a bastion for the sport, you know, and an icon. You know, it is mixed martial arts, and a lot of the fighters themselves believe in what mixed martial arts stands for and the code and the respect that you show your opponent, the people you train with. So in that regard, he'd definitely be welcomed. Whether he would fit in or not is debatable, but you'd think that Bruce Lee would have a chance. I mean, you saw somebody like Lyoto Machida came in, and he was a karate expert, and karate wasn't necessarily a discipline that was respected in MMA or effective, particularly in MMA, before him, and he came in and he won a title. So, you know, anybody can win with any background in martial arts.
Two more phone calls to sneak in here. Mark, you're on 720 WGM with Mike Dice.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was interested in knowing the average career of these fighters. I remember going with some buddies years ago to these fights where the fighters move on and they potentially fight up to 4 fights in one night. And it seemed like the goal was to blow out a knee or put the guy down for good. And so I'm wondering, how long do these guys really last?
It's another good question, Mark.
The old model of the UFC was tournaments. They would do tournaments and nights at the UFC 1, 2, 3, etc. They would fight multiple times in a night. Now the UFC has moved away from tournaments. People don't fight. They'll fight a few times a year, but they won't fight multiple times in one night. Bellator used to do tournaments. They don't anymore. There's still some promotions that do the tournaments, but those are rare. So the career of an athlete can last a little bit longer, and it's pretty much up to the athlete how long they want to continue fighting. We have people fighting who are in, you know, into their early 40s.
So Conor McGregor, when he was saying he was going to retire, that was all just to, that was leverage, more money, respect.
That was
me.
Jockeying for position with the UFC.
Right, not really worried about his career.
But okay. I mean, Ronda Rousey said she wants this to be done by the end of her 30th year.
Is she single?
No. she dates a really large man who also fights in the UFC.
I'll stay out of that one then.
Tracy, you're up last. We got to be quick if you can. Tracy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
You're up. Be quick, please.
Yep.
And that's too slow. Okay. We got to get to a break here. We're actually going to give away two pairs of tickets because we had a lot of good questions there. So,
sorry, Tracy.
Were the two best questions?
I got Albert who started off, and then there was John about dominating, and there's Bill about violence. Adam had Bruce Lee. Mark about the average career. Top two questionnaires, Mike Dice, fan-sided.
Adam with Bruce Lee and Bill with legality in the States.
All right.
There it is. We appreciate it. Mike, thanks so much for coming in. Great stuff. I'm glad we did this.
Please hang out. We really enjoyed having you in studio just so we could talk during the breaks. That was great stuff by Mike Dice, fan-sided.
720 WGN.
Most people expect the people that they get their information from, and I've been around a lot of great journalists, okay, in Chicago, in New Orleans, in Los Angeles. In my opinion, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, okay? So I don't respond to that. People who know not and do not know that they know not are fools, and you shun them. So why would I call you every time you throw out something that's incorrect? I've got other things to do with my job. I can't do that 24/7. Who do you get your information from?
We get it from
Pickaxe, is that where you get your information?
We get it from all the other sources around town that are trying to get
information. You know what you're trying to do? We'll give you information when we're ready to give you information, all right?
That is the great Tim Floyd. Hashtag the Tim Floyd era.
And the man he was getting upset about is on the phone line with us right now. His name is Steve Kaplowitz. He is a host at Sports Talk on 600 ESPN in El Paso, Texas. Our old friend Tim Floyd from here in Chicago.
Steve, when he was talking about the great journalists in this town, he was talking about both myself and Adam Holbrook.
Absolutely.
You're in privileged company, sir. So we're going to play a bigger piece of the audio of your exchange with him, which, by the way, was the highlight of my week. So I thank you for, I don't know what you would call what happened with you and Tim Floyd. But
Steve, can we start here? Give us a little bit of background.
Yeah.
For those that don't understand why this press conference happened.
And why does Tim Floyd hate you?
Yeah, why he was mad at you. Basically, tell us a story.
First off, let's put it this way, guys. I've been doing this 21 years. I've been hosting the Afternoon Drive in El Paso for 19 years doing sports radio. And I started on Haskins, was still coaching. And Tim Floyd's been here for six. And the strange thing is until Tuesday, I had no idea about how he felt about me, the show, or anything else. Matter of fact, about 6 weeks ago, I had reached out to Coach Floyd to talk a little bit about, you know, the season after they weren't able to win the conference tournament, and he came into office. We spent a half an hour talking, and it's one of the rare opportunities. I've actually been face-to-face and alone with him over the 6 years, but, again, had no idea. And what we have been talking about on the radio was the UTEP Miners losing four players this offseason. One went pro, their leading scorer from last season, Lee Moore. Three others decided they were going to transfer out. Things kind of really came to a head when two of the three players announced on Twitter feeds within about 90 minutes of each other that they were just suddenly leaving the program without no warning. And the university had no comment at the time. They did not put anything out regarding these two players. So it left a lot of minor fans speculating what's going on with the program, what's happening here, why all of a sudden are two players that were seemingly at least part of the future just deciding to opt and go. And when UTEP decided a couple of weeks later to address their new late recruiting class and the departures, that's when this audio that you heard from Tuesday actually took place.
So, okay, that's interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong here, because sometimes my listening skills can be a little faulty. You were sitting down with him in your office or in his office 6 weeks ago, just you and him?
In my office.
Wow.
Guys, I let's put it this way. Since I don't work in Chicago and on WGN like you guys do on weekends, I divide my workday up between radio sales for three of our town square stations, and then I do my on-air show like I have been so long. So he had come in earlier, and we just had a, you know, great conversation, and there was never any impression during that time that there was ever anything wrong. He never mentioned anything at all that had bothered him, nothing. So, again, what happened on Tuesday, guys, came complete out of nowhere.
So, okay, we're going to play the audio in 1 second here, but you are at least a part of it. And if you go on YouTube or wherever else, you can get the whole press conference, and it ebbs and flows. But you're also the voice of the women's basketball team for UTEP, are you not?
Yeah, we air the women's games, and myself and two others, we kind of split up the play-by-play.
Okay.
But I take a good chunk of the games and do the tournament. And, yes, I've held women's basketball play-by-play at UTEP for the last couple of years since we picked up that contract. So that is correct.
So, in essence, you're sort of an employee of the university. I don't know who pays your check there. But No.
We don't get paid by the university for the games. We actually get paid by our radio station. It's all through IMG. But the point is, yes, we are the outlet for the women's games on radio.
All right, fair enough. Here's the audio from part of the press conference, which is about 2 minutes in length and very uncomfortable and entertaining.
It's complete fiction what's coming out from his mouth. Complete fiction. But he wants me to go on the air and respond to that. Some rumor that comes on some social website or some blogger. It's just complete fiction. Throw it against the wall and let's see if it sticks. This is a guy that I went on his show 10 times as the coach of the Bulls, the Hornets, and USC as a favor to Don Haskins. I wish I'd have never done that. What you got?
Obviously you can't name, any perspective.
Don't say that. I'm dead ass right.
No. You're not, because you know why?
It's fiction.
How about
you're a fiction? You're,
how about
your
the
show
Paul
is fiction.
Show? How about all the fans? How
your
about all the season ticket holders?
What
about upset?
What do you want?
And they've been upset with the lack of results over the last 6 years,
is that
and they're
right?
Tired of not going to the postseason. They're tired of not going to the NCAA tournament.
Well, we were in the MIT a year ago.
Yeah, that really means a lot for El Paso right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? We lost four starters, but didn't quite get there this year.
So every year is going to be the same thing, Coach. Every
is that right?
Is that what it's going
to
be?
If you're upset about us not winning games and you want to be fired because not winning games, that's your prerogative.
I don't have any problem with you. Matter of fact, as far as you getting fired, that's not it at all. All I want is part of the reason we do what we do.
Let me tell you what we've tried to do.
Is we don't get people to give us the answers and don't give us to keep us informed. You're talking about people being informed. It's not fiction.
It's fiction.
What is a sports talk show? It's an opinion-based talk show. Whether or not my...
It should be based on the facts, and yours is based on fiction.
That's not true.
There's a big difference.
That's because we don't get fed stories like other people in the media. When you feel it's time to feed, then you feed.
Well,
we haven't been fed in 6 years, Coach. Yeah. Not 6 years.
Why would I feed you? Why would I feed you?
Because we are the only local game in town that talks to the media about UTEP basketball every day.
You're giving yourself too much credit.
No, please. Yeah. I've been doing this a long time before you got here. I've been doing it after you got here.
Okay, Steve, first of all...
Love how you don't back down,
no,
Steve.
No, absolutely. And since we're all in this business, my guess is that it's not fiction. But what is that? What was he accusing you of? I mean, essentially lying about, which in our business is one of the most... severe accusations one can make.
Again, that's I'm still trying to find that part of it out.
Okay.
I mean, we talk about, he accused me of wanting him out. We've never once asked for Tim Floyd's head, nor do I believe he should be fired. I've said this again, guys. I feel the same way about him now as I felt 6 years ago. I do think he's a great coach with an amazing background. And you know what? If you look at his averages over 6 years at UTEP, he's won 20 games a season. You don't lose your job for winning 20 games. The problem is you're in Conference USA. You're in a one-bid league where the conference tournament champion goes to the NCAAs and the other 13 teams stay home. And that's the way it's been here since really he arrived. And it's a shame because he's working with that. Again, he never listens to the radio show, but he accuses us of shin. And I think really what it all stemmed from was when some of the players left, I had mentioned that maybe he's losing the team. And I mentioned that because just random two departures come out of nowhere that are supposed to be building blocks from the team. Was that fact? Absolutely not. Do I know that? I don't. At the same time, it just makes you wonder what was going on, what's happening. And when you try to, when we've tried to reach out and get some kind of comment from the university just to find out what their side of it is, we're often kind of left wondering ourselves what's happening, because they, as you heard, they comment when they feel that it's necessary, and it's not always when, you know, when the big stories break.
He's Steve Kaplowitz. You can follow him on Twitter, at Steve Kaplowitz, Sports Talk on 600 ESPN in El Paso. You heard the audio of him getting into it with former Chicago Bulls head coach Tim Floyd, who is now the head coach at UTEP. So, Steve, what's been the – that's this was Tuesday, correct? So what's been sort of the fallout since then? You know, these are usually the situations where – media relations members get into it somehow. Maybe you get together with the coach. I don't know if he's interested in that, but basically, what's been the fallout in the last few days?
There's been nothing. It's been interesting. The university has not reached out in any capacity. They have gone on the record and told the local television media in town that they're not going to apologize for the reactions. I have not heard from the athletic department. I have not heard from the president. Obviously, I have not heard from Coach Floyd about the situation.
Wow.
So for us, you know, spent the last couple of days taking a lot of phone calls from a lot of people. The support's been overwhelming. It's a shame that it turned into this, though, guys. In all honesty, this was supposed to be a conference. This wasn't supposed to turn into what you played on the air. And that's regrettable. I think that's not anything I wanted. I don't think really anything he wanted. They had seven. What you guys didn't mention was this, though. They handed out 17 pages of paper to us. But it wasn't like a normal press conference where you get the packet and then he talks about it. Handed it out during four different times as Coach Floyd was trying to explain why we've seen 1,500 players transfer out of college basketball over the last 2 years. And we get one handout about teams with four players or more that have left, teams with three players or more that have left, teams that have had guys go pro. So the press conference was obviously something that they had planned and devised to turn to you know, what should have been a pretty informative session, but obviously things got out of hand. But the university has not reached out, and I don't expect them to be honest.
In your mind, though, did they call this press conference to talk about the transfer so he could attack you? Because that's what it seems like.
I mean, listen, if you guys have had a chance to watch the 32-minute video,
I
always tell everybody this, you just got to judge for yourself. I mean, if I don't ask that question, that first question that gets him started, but somebody else does, I think it still ends up coming back, personally, because it seemed like he was really unhappy with me, the way that we're, trying to mislead Asso, as he's called it, with the whole situation. The sad part is everybody wants the same thing here in El Paso. Everybody wants to see Tim Floyd win, go to the NCAA tournament, and turn UTEP back to the program it once was 20-plus years ago when it was making regular tournament appearances under Don Haskins and was selling out the arena night in, night out. That's the goal. That's what we all want. Nobody wants to see the program lose and go downhill and Tim Floyd lose his job. It's just, I think what we've seen on Tuesday is obviously the stress is starting to hurt him, and it's because he's in a really difficult situation knowing he's having to play for basically that one bid every year along with some pretty good college basketball teams that are fighting for the same thing.
Last one for you, Steve. What has been the reaction from the fan base? They more on your side? Are they starting to get fed up with Tim Floyd after this? Just what has been the overall reaction this week?
Fans, again, I think UTEP basketball fans have been getting frustrated the last couple of years because they want to see this team go back to the tournament. Because that hasn't happened, they've been getting increasingly frustrated. As far as just, you know, the people that have been interacting with me on my afternoon drive show, they've been great. Overwhelmingly supportive. You know, again, it shouldn't be him or me, but as far as just El Paso goes, they've been great. Social media has also really been huge for me. It's nice to know that after doing this all these years, you've got a very loyal and supportive group of people behind you. But again, it's not about choosing Floyd or choosing me. I think that's the thing that gets lost in this whole discussion. If we could find a way and everybody get along, patch it up, and try to do something for the common, that would be the ultimate. But I just don't know. I mean, he said a lot of things to me that day, and I'm not sure if there's going to be any plans anytime soon to try to get together and patch up the situation.
The only thing that I regret that you did, Steve, is you didn't just put it all out there. Look, I was born in Brooklyn. I'm a New Yorker. Yes, I've lived here, but you got to know where I come from, coach. And no disrespect to the strength of the El Paso man, but there's a certain little edge that the New Yorker can bring to the table here that I wish you would have thrown that out there, Steve.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. New York's still my roots when it comes to sports. The New York teams are what I root for, but I'll be honest. You live here long enough in El Paso, you live and you die by UTEP sports. It's what it is. It's the only game in town around here, although now we've got a AAA baseball team named the Chihuahuas that have become the hottest AAA team in town, so that's been great, too. Yeah, next time I'll throw that. But you understand, if you're a Knicks fan, how can you actually throw that out at a coach? You can't do that.
That's a good point.
You know, I've got problems dealing with UTEP. If I try to bring up the Knicks, I'd have to go see a psychiatrist on a daily basis and get analyzed.
Well, just as long as you know that Charles Smith was not fouled, as long as we're all clear on that.
That's good. I love it.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate your time today.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Steve Kaplowitz down at 600 ESPN in El Paso. Class guy for coming on. Enjoyed it. And, hey, Tim Floyd. 45 wins and 190 losses when he was the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I know, it wasn't his fault. He was dealt perhaps the worst hand you could have possibly been dealt in the great Jerry Krause plan of the era after coming out of the dynasty. Didn't quite work out with Eddie Curry and company.
Yeah, but 6 years at UTEP.
Oh, listen.
Should probably start to win him.
I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame at any point.
I think Steve Kaplowitz has some pretty good points that if you and I were doing afternoon drive in El Paso
for 21 years,
we'd probably be saying a lot of the same things.
That was intense. Wish you were handier around the house. Learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench. Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. Cubs game, of course, has gone final. 8-2 winner, Jake Arrieta, 8 innings. So our Cubs post game starting right now for you on 720 WGN. Of course, the White Sox are in there as well. Lost at the New York Yankees 2-1.
Yeah, but when we come back, we have to address the text you sent me this week about the Cubs.
Fair enough. Let's go.
Your overall level of panic.
It's fine. I'll own it. Don't you worry.
It's 720 WGN.
This is the beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon, the huge hypocrite. He's Adam Hogue, sometimes angry Adam Hogue. The Cubs are a winner today, 8-2, over the Pittsburgh Pirates, who, by the way, they must be looking at the Cubs like they're the 1927 Yankees, because every single game, let's tally up, if you got a second there, tally up how much the Cubs have outscored the Pirates this year, because they're now 5-0 against them, and every game is a certifiable blowout. They are in the Pirates' head at this point.
Well,
they have to be.
I'm not a math guy, but I do think it's going to be relatively difficult for the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the National League Central Division without beating the Chicago Cubs a single time this year.
Right, that's probably not going to work out for them.
I guess if you won every other game in your entire season, but I don't think the Pirates are really doing that right now.
By the way, the text line's running 312. Who's your green thumb? It's Prowse Hydrania. My bad. I'm the green thumb. Can barely change a light bulb, but I did do that this week.
What did you say? Hydrangea? I think it's Hydrangea.
It's Hydrangea.
Hydrangea?
That's what I said.
Don't you remember from
I think
It's a Wonderful Life?
That I think Carmen was saying it right.
Here in the hydrangea bush. Remember that line?
Bob Kessler with flowery knowledge here.
This was from It was from It's a Wonderful Life.
Did I get it right or did I get it wrong?
What did you say?
I don't know.
Oh.
I
know it's not hydrangea.
Drangea.
Or
drangea.
I don't even know where the read went.
Hydrangea. We should
hydrangea.
Watch all of It's a Wonderful Life and find that little line.
All right.
Bottom line is I'm incredibly talented. I've
did
never
just
made a mistake.
Dig through the trash like right in front of your microphone on the radio? That's awesome.
It's what I feel like accuracy is important here, and if I got it wrong, I want to apologize to everybody and get it right, but Kessler's got my back, and apparently I'm right. Again, because I've never
you're
been
always,
wrong.
Yeah, you're always right. Never, all right, never. We got a break again here, right?
What's up, Dan? Oh, can't hear you. Oh, was he?
How's that?
That's better.
By the way,
over five games, the Cubs outscored the Pirates 37-11.
37-11.
Is that good?
That's so roughly. Let's just do the math there. That's an average of 8-2, basically 7-2. Call it whatever. 5 divided by 11, 2 runs a game, 2.2.
Way too much math for me.
37 divided by 5. That's a 7.5 to 2.2. That is 5 runs a game difference. You, Pittsburgh, we're in your face. We're in your head.
That should be the Cubs' new slogan. We're in your face. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Well, no surprise. The Cubs win again 8-2 over the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates have yet to beat the Cubs this season. Jake Arrieta improves to 7-0. He gave up 2 runs today, though, Carm. What's wrong with him?
ERA up.
Mr. Negative Cub.
ERA up to 1.29. Best news out of Wrigley today from the offensive side of the spectrum. Jason Hayward, finally, 3-for-4, couple of runs scored, also walked. Batting average now up to a robust 236. He's been solid as far as getting on base all season long. The OBP on base percentage at 347, which isn't too bad for somebody who's struggling the way Hayward has, at least moderately, to start the season here.
Let's go back a couple days.
Yeah, let's go back.
To the low moment of the Cubs' season.
It's a very rough day.
The season in which they're 27-8.
Is that good? Can you say that again? What's the record again?
The Chicago Cubs are 27-8.
And
they've won 27 games. They've lost 8. The Chicago Cubs.
What's their run differential?
1,000.
110. What's the next best in all of baseball?
Don't know.
Neither does anybody else. That's why I'm bringing it up. That would be 58, plus 58, and that would be the Boston Red Sox, who have nowhere close to the Cubs.
Where are the White Sox?
The Chicago White Sox are now 24-13 after dropping.
I know, but what's a run difference?
I know. Plus 40.
24-13?
Yes, they're 4.5 games up on the 17-15 Cleveland Indians.
Season's over. What's their run differential?
Plus 40.
Okay. And the Cubs are what?
110.
That's ridiculous.
There are 6 teams in the history of baseball who have started out this well. The 84 Tigers amongst them, the 2001 Mariners. 5 of the 6 went on to win the World Series. The only one that didn't was the 01 Mariners. Hashtag World Series. 312-981-7200. I want to see if anybody is feeling the way I was feeling on Wednesday. What did I write to you?
Well, this is a perfect segue after you read all those ridiculous stats.
Yeah.
Including 5 out of 6 teams starting at this rate won the World Series. Let's go back to Wednesday night when the Chicago Cubs lost 2 games in 1 day to the San Diego Padres.
Day-night doubleheader in May, by the way, should be a straight doubleheader. There should be a rule that you cannot be this greedy. Just put them all together. But they made them start at noon and then start at, then everybody had to leave and then start at 7. Go ahead.
Were you at this game when you texted me?
No, I was watching at home. Okay. I couldn't handle the stress of being there that night. I went Tuesday.
I was at both games.
Dan Long went to both games? Wow.
How many other games have you been to this year?
3.
How many of those did they lose?
I was 1-2.
Going in?
1-2.
Going in.
So you're 1-4?
So you've seen half of the Cubs' losses this year.
Yes.
You're terrible.
You're the reason why they're losing.
You're a terrible person. You are the problem.
You're not allowed to go to Wrigley the rest of the year.
I've been to Wrigley with Dan Long, and he's a great Cub fan there.
How's it possible?
Actually, I was 1-1, actually.
Oh, okay.
I added in the...
All right. Well.
1-3 is not very good.
Let's say this is not good. That's not good for a 27-8 ball club. This is probably, what, the 7th inning of the second game? Late in the second game.
Yes.
We're texting about the show, and then you drop this on me out of nowhere. We weren't even talking about the Cubs. Cubs honeymoon over. Arrieta wants money. The predicted losing streaks. Need this one. My response was, you definitely don't need this one.
And you were most definitely correct. But it was a very rough day on Wednesday.
Was it?
Yes. Well, first of all, there was the Steven Strasburg 7-year, $175 million deal with, and he has outs in year three and year four. So it's like these new contracts, which Jason Hayward has as well. If you're great, you can be a free agent again and get more money. If you're not great, we're stuck with you for 7 years because you just take the money.
I don't understand that. I mean, like, first of all, they're already getting guaranteed contracts, which you don't get in the NFL. And the reason you don't get them in the NFL is because everyone's hurt all the time. And you got these pitchers. I'm reading The Arm by Jeff Passan right now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have – and look, it's a great book, but I go to bed every night like having nightmares that Chris Sale's arm's going to fall off.
It might.
Or Jake Arrieta's or anybody's arm, because it's like this could happen to anybody at any given time. You don't know what it is. And anyway –
you want to bet that we can get a full bank of calls of Cub fans who were nervous on Wednesday?
I'm sure they were.
312-981-7200. Was anybody nervous on Wednesday that thought that, I don't know, that it was the first time for me, actually, where I just wasn't on complete easy street watching the team. I just actually started to get some little tension.
Okay. Tension. You wrote a text to me that included the word losing streak. And the Cubs hadn't even lost their second game in a row.
But I knew it.
The first time in the whole season.
But I knew it. I could feel it.
That's not a losing streak. Losing streak is three games or more.
I wouldn't even call it. Well, right, but they were getting swept by the Padres.
Okay. A quarter of their losses happened on Wednesday. In one freaking day.
And the other part of it, too, is they had the lead. And Madden he did not manage well in game one.
Yeah, I want to hear this, too. You were all mad about John Madden, Jesus.
Close enough.
Joe Madden.
John Madden was in the news this week, the new Madden cover to Rob Gronkowski. So,
what are you upset about Joe?
Well, okay, I love Joe Madden. Love him. Everything that he stands for. But I do sometimes think that he's a little too bullpenny.
What does that mean? He goes to it too early?
I don't even know if you can, like, I don't even feel comfortable criticizing Joe Madden. I wonder if people feel like, but he's never won a World Series. Is he not beyond any form of just looking at it with a little tighter lens, so to speak? In this game on
Day game Wednesday, Wrigley Field, San Diego Padres.
Two outs in the seventh. I forget who was at the plate, but whoever it was dropped down a bunt, and then he goes and he gets Kyle Hendricks, who was rolling, to bring in Pedro Strop in the seventh, who's pitched more than anyone in their bullpen by far, with the exception of Travis, where they both pitched a ton, but Strop's pitched the most. It's like, you're getting a great outing from Kyle Hendricks. He's rolling. You're not going to have that every time. You can save your bullpen. You don't need to use him. And so Strop goes out there, and he had pitched the night before. So now you're going like night game into day game. It's a short turnaround, and you're against the Padres, and he did not have his control at all, which tends to happen when you're a little bit fatigued. And he gave up a three-run bomb, and they ended up losing the game. Now, even if he had gotten out of the inning perfectly, I still would have said, why? You don't need to use him there. Like, roll with Hendricks, build his confidence. And yesterday with Hamill, they're rolling 8-0. It's the sixth inning. A couple guys get on. He's got the bullpen up going again. This guy wants to go deeper into games. You're up 8-0. And I know they're playing the Pirates, and that's the second-place team, but just let him...
But who'd he put in?
Well, he had Clayton Richard up, and he had Justin Grimm up. Now, Hamill ended up getting out of the inning, so he got through the sixth, and he got into the seventh, and he got two outs in the seventh, and then they yanked him.
I would just look at how the Cubs lost in the playoffs last year and think any inning you can save off your starter during the course of the regular season would be a good idea.
Right, but look, and I would agree with you as far as like the main guys are concerned, main guys being Arrieta.
But you're still going to need Hamill in the playoffs or Hendricks. Or
you're not going to use Hendricks in the playoffs. You're barely going to use Hamill in the playoffs. He's going to pitch once. He's going to pitch game four. I don't need that guy. You
don't need a guy to win game four for you?
Well,
you don't know what's going to happen?
He'll be well rested by then.
Don't know if someone's going to get hurt. You might need Hendricks in the playoffs.
It's a delicate balancing act. I will grant you that. But it's like you can't win games in July and August when your starters do start to get tired if your bullpen's exhausted. And the Cubs starters are pitching so well right now that Madden has the luxury where he can really just kind of space out his bullpen use. And everybody can be fresh. I mean, they're pitching that well that that's the case. So I just think he's used Strope a little bit too much to my liking. And sometimes he has this philosophy with starters that Hamill's a six-inning pitcher and Hendricks a six-inning pitcher. Even if they're going extremely well, he has a super short hook with them. So I would just, hey, look, you know, long season, you're up 8-0. I'm not worried about it getting, if he has a complete meltdown and it gets to 8-4, I'm not worried about it. Let him pitch.
So what about Arrieta? You and everyone's so upset about this contract situation. This dude isn't even a free agent until the end of next year.
Well, I mean, people are 512 texting in here.
Let him go.
Pitchers break down after his contract. Let Arrieta leave. We can have that discussion. 312-981-7200. I mean, my take on it is...
He's already 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let him pitch out the rest of his contract.
Okay.
There's no reason... He should want to get locked up right now. At his age, way he's pitching, he should want to get locked up right now.
Okay, but like his...
If you're him, do you want to go another year and a half and risk an arm injury?
All right, here, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. I'll take you into where I think Jake Arrieta's mindset is on what you just said.
You're going to take me into Mark Carmen's brain.
I'm going to jump in.
Where Jake Arrieta's mindset lives.
I'm jumping into Arrieta's mindset. I think I've got it figured out.
Okay.
You don't buy it?
Well, I want to hear it. So we'll take a break, and then I'll hear it. It's 720 WGN. All right, back here on The Beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here with you until 7 o'clock. And we're talking a little bit about Jake Arrieta. Mark Carmen, I believe you are the one who has to pod this down. There you go.
Look at that.
Welcome to radio.
I don't know why that is, by the way.
Well, I thought we figured that out.
Yeah, we
didn't we figure that out?
Clearly, we have not figured that out.
I thought we found the solution.
I personally would like to blame Dan Long, but I'm sure that I will take 100% of my...
Technically, it is my fault, so I will take the burden here, but I don't know why I couldn't fade that out.
And as somebody that is sitting in front of the board, I will take 100% of my 50% of responsibility. How's that?
And I will take zero.
Well, and that's fine, because that's fair. That's completely fair. All right, so this is what I think is going on in Jake Arrieta's mind, all right? He's already made a ton of dough, okay? I mean, he's making $10 million this year, which is a lot less than, baseball-wise, what he should be making, but that's an absurd amount of money, right, for 99.99999% of people.
How much money?
$10 million a year. You going to make that this year, $10
million? No. Yeah. Right. I probably won't make that in my life.
Right, and most of us won't or come anywhere close to that. But so he's making that this year, and he's made in his career close to $20 million to this point, a little bit over, okay? So he's got, and this is a guy that is not spending, he doesn't come across right as a dude who's spending his money on foolish endeavors. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know the guy.
Well, this is a guy that lives on the Pilates machine and he eats kale and he's the most well-fit guy. And when somebody asks about steroids, he laughs in their face, which was phenomenal. And then, of course, it came out this week that the guy that MLB was talking about was not Jake Arrieta. So he's got all the money that he needs, but he's also sitting here looking at, well, I'm going to be a free agent at the end of next season. I keep myself in incredible shape. I do everything I possibly can. So this is my one enormous payday, which I don't even need, by the way. But yeah, like, it's not a risk for me, I think, to him right now to not sign, because he's just going to gamble on himself. I'm healthy.
But he could lose.
He could.
Yeah, you could eat all the kale in the world, and if it was that simple to keep your UCL intact, then everyone would eat kale.
Yeah, but it's
you
more
can do all the Pilates in the world. No one knows how that elbow works. No one. People think they have theories. People think they know how to take care of it. No one knows how that UCL works in the elbow.
Okay, fine. So let's say he gambles and loses. All right, he's still a multi millionaire who's never going to work another day in his life, right?
If he's been taking care of his money, presumably yes.
Right. So, okay, there's a chance that I blow out my UCL or anything else in my elbow or shoulder. Sure, I think he would speak honestly to that. I don't think he's under the covers not realizing that. But I just think he's, the bottom line, very simply, I just think he's betting on himself. And, hey, I'm not going to give you a discount when I'm the best pitcher in baseball, and I'm putting up numbers that are, in the history of baseball, better than Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax and whoever else you want to throw out there. The guy is out of his friggin' mind.
He's pretty good.
So why would, I mean, if you're in that position, I'm not a guy that, like, hey, if you're happy in Chicago, like, getting every last dollar to go pitch for whoever, the Washington Nationals or the Arizona Diamondbacks or whoever you want to pick out, if you want to be in Chicago, then, and you get a deal where the Cubs are willing to give you, I don't know, what do you think the Cubs are willing to give him right now?
I imagine that they're being pretty careful because they realize his age and...
Right, would they give him the money they gave John Lester, who they gave at the same age? Actually, Lester was older. Would they give him...
Well, then yes, they should. Well, like, I would.
Well, so would I. But in their conversations, I'd like to know what the offer is. Are you willing to give 25 a year? I would think you are. Are you willing to give 30 a year? And like, it's so hard to wrap yourself around the numbers too. Like, and then you got to, at some point you're going to have to pay Bryant, and you're going to have to pay.
Right, and they got to think about all that.
Right. So,
but there's no salary cap.
Yes, and they're going to like be.
And if this team wins the World Series, they're never going to have to worry about money ever.
And they
not that they do now.
And even when they were losing, they didn't give their season ticket holders a 1 cent of a discount on the seats for 3 years. And by the way, I've heard a lot of talk about how the Cubs tickets are this phenomenal buy right now for those who stuck it out. And the weather hasn't been great. But the bottom line is, I've shown up at Wrigley. I've seen what seats are going for right around game time. They're a fourth of face value, okay?
And I almost took James to that the day game, the doubleheader the other day. I looked at StubHub that morning.
$6.
And it was $6. Actually, there was like a $12 ticket like behind home plate on the first level.
Right. So this whole like this. I'm not saying it's, look, when it gets nice and it's June and July and they're playoff tickets, the whole thing, gonna be a lot of dough. But right now, it's a tremendous value if you're willing to sit out there in not the best weather.
Did you see the Yankees game last night? There was no one there.
No, they stink.
No. All right. Well, we got to take a break. After news, though, we do our normal buried headline segment, and I got a little bit of a spin on that.
All right. 720 WGN. This segment sponsored by Adam Hoag, 720 WGN, WGNradio.com. I'm Mark Harmon, Dan Long producing. Great to have you along on a Saturday afternoon. Cubs win, White Sox lose.
Well,
we're with you till 7.
It's 5:07.
Yeah, it is.
On a Saturday. This is usually where we do our buried headlines. So you can keep playing that music.
Yeah, just let it roll.
Throughout the whole segment here. It's a good song. This is the way we remember Mike Jacobson.
Hashtag Jackal. Miss you, Jackal.
Hashtag RIP.
Not RIP. He's still alive. Doing a great job with the Steve Cochran Show.
Still alive. Mike Jacobson. Still alive.
We might actually play a Jacobson bump.
And we love him.
Jacobson bump around Dave Bennett singing karaoke, which is hysterical. We'll do that before the end of the show if it's okay with everybody here.
Definitely okay with me.
Okay,
good. Sounds great. This is where we do buried headlines, but it's, you know, come to my attention that no one really likes this segment but me.
I like the segment. I don't know. I mean, I'm
not. No one does it, though, when I'm not here. It's like you guys just forget about it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely an Adam Hoag sponsored segment.
So I am.
You're always here.
I'm not. I know I am. I forget to do it too.
Yeah, I mean, that is like a complete inaccurate statement.
I know, but I know. It's completely inaccurate. But
do I have to come up with buried headlines right now? Because I got to be honest, I don't have.
No,
any
you don't. That's why I'm saying I am voluntarily taking the burden off of you by renaming this segment Hoag's Headlines.
Oh, Hoag's Headlines.
Then you don't have to do any of the work, and I can have all the fun.
I don't mind.
And you can just listen or react or do whatever the hell you do during Buried
the show?
Headlines.
Well, I don't mind doing Buried Headlines, but I kind of have to have a heads up that we're doing it so I can go through.
Right. Or we could just do it at 5 o'clock every Saturday, and we could all just know this.
Can we have a vote on it on the text line? Do you like the segment Buried Headlines and see how it comes out, or are we not going to empower our listeners to that level?
I think we should empower our listeners.
312-981-7200, programming note on the air. Do you like Buried Headlines? And if you've never heard Buried Headlines, we're bringing you headlines that are buried.
No, they're Hoag's Headlines now.
Now Hoag's Headlines. If we're going to continue to do the segment,
you can also vote on what you want the segment to be called, I guess. Let's get into them.
Yeah, let's get your first Hoag headline.
Okay, this is from the Washington Post.
Great paper.
the Donald Trump, not too popular, right? So apparently
can't stand him.
There was the
Did I say that?
Portion of the Republican Party that does not like Donald Trump started recruiting a bunch of people to run as a third party candidate against him. According to the Washington Post,
I'm willing to run. By the way,
ready to go against Donald?
Yeah. If the Republican Party wants to have me run against Donald and somehow swoop in there, I'll do it. I need a lot of help, with the being the president part. But I'll do it. Go ahead.
Okay. This is from the Washington Post. The recruiters also delved into the world of reality television for someone who might out Trump. Mark Cuban. The brash billionaire, businessman, and owner of the Dallas Mavericks basketball team.
I'd way rather have Cuba than Trump. That's not even close. I like Cuban.
Again and again, though, these anti-Trump Republicans have heard the same tepid response. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't see it happening, Cuban wrote in an email.
Mark Cuban is not going to run for president?
No. Mark Cuban, you heard it here first in Hoag's headlines. Not running for president.
You know, Mark Cuban...
It's getting desperate, folks.
Started Broadcast.com, sold out for huge money, bought the Mavericks, turned them around, won an NBA championship. It'd be a lot more comfortable with Mark than Trump steaks or whatever he's doing. Sick hair, dude.
Do you remember who Matt Bush is?
Matt Bush, the former USC Trojan?
No,
I don't have that right.
No, that would be Reggie Bush.
I know. I'm thinking of Reggie Bush. I feel like Matt Bush.
Bush was the first overall pick in the 2004 MLB draft.
Oh yeah,
by the San Diego Padres.
I remember he got DUIs and all sorts of stuff.
Three DUIs, yeah. And eventually ended up serving 39 months in prison.
Deserved it.
Just got out, I believe, 7 months ago. And signed with the Texas Rangers after getting out of prison. The Texas Rangers called him up yesterday. Matt Bush is now 30 years old. He never pitched in the major leagues. Made his debut last night. He entered Friday's game in the ninth inning with the Rangers trailing 5-0. And retired, this is from the Sporting News, and promptly retired the meat of the Blue Jays order in 17 pitches. 10 of which clocked in at 96 miles per hour or faster.
Hashtag go Matt Bush.
I was just focused on trying to be myself out there and continuing to do what I've done in AA. He was called up from AA, by the way. But it was pretty surreal, though, with those guys in the box. It felt good to throw a couple of pitches past those guys. It just boosts my confidence to be able to have a good outing for that first time. It's just amazing.
All right, good. Votes being taken, 312-981-7200. Do you like the off-the-beaten-path Hoag headlines? Thumbs up. You can just text in a Y for yes, keep the segment, N for no, 312-981-7200. Can I throw in the Hoag segment what went on in my life last night at 2:30 in the morning?
Is that a Hoag headline?
It would be a Carmen headline, sub-Hoag. It would be a Carmen
sub-headline?
Sub-headline under Hoag headlines.
Okay. This is really buried.
This is extremely buried and did not actually make any real headlines. But 2:30 in the morning last night, I went to bed early last night at 10.
Okay.
Going around the city yesterday, doing all sorts of stuff, was exhausted. 10 o'clock, done. Woke up 2:30 in the morning, wide awake. What's the choice at 2:30 a.m.? Went 3 episodes, back to back to back, Girls Season 1.
Ah, I watched the first season of that show, don't like it.
I was watching. You didn't like. Really?
I watched the first season. I shouldn't say I didn't like it. I just got over it and wasn't that interested.
I mean, you can throw in on the text line too, manhood in question. If you go 3 back to back to back girls episodes at
2:30 in the morning,
I'm like laughing out loud.
Pretty weird.
I live in a condo with thin walls. I mean, I'm waking up the people above me as I'm laughing at Lena Dunham, who's the greatest, and I love Adam too. Overall, strong liking right now for Hoag headlines with suggestions, by the way.
Thank you very much. But someone's suggesting that, yeah, we should, why not call it Hidden Hoag Lines?
I like Hidden Hoag Lines.
Okay. Hidden Hoag Lines. Under consideration.
Are we pro the Carmen subsection of Hidden Hoag Lines? What's next?
Creepy Carmen, Creepy Carms, 2:30 in the morning, Lifelines. All right, this is from Colleen Kane in the Chicago Tribune, her notes piece the other day. Love this quote from Robin Ventura. Colleen wrote, Frazier, Todd Frazier, has started every game at third base this season, and manager Robin Ventura said Wednesday that he and second baseman Brett Lawrie don't want days off. Quote, I wouldn't mind giving a day off, but personality-wise, they'd rather not have one, Ventura said. Frazier starts swinging well, so you want to keep him in there to keep that going. Brett, I just don't want him sitting next to me.
If I may judge the Hogue headlines, I don't know if this headline is buried enough for a Hogue headline. This is like a kind of a out front headline. It's on your baseball team, the Chicago White Sox, which, by the way, you wrote an incredible piece on the White Sox this week. Way to man up.
We'll get to that later.
I can't wait. But
it involves a Happy Gilmore reference.
I enjoyed the Happy Gilmore being invoked in one of your columns.
You're saying this isn't buried enough?
Not buried enough.
Well, we're not doing buried headlines anymore. We're doing Hogue's headlines. You can find this on at Adam Hogue's Twitter feed. So I think it qualifies as a Hogue headline.
That's a good qualification there.
Thank you.
I stand corrected. And
all right. You want something else that appeared on at Adam Hogue this week, May 11th?
Please.
While you were crying about your Chicago Cubs on Wednesday night, at Adam Hogue tweeted a vine. Love this. It's Fernando Rodney shooting the arrow at the end of the game.
Oh, with Zobrist?
And Ben Zobrist jumping in front of it. And then they high five.
That was great.
I was waiting. You know what? Let me give Cubs fans credit. I was waiting for this to get blown up out of proportion, Cubs fans to be mad that Ben Zobrist just lost the game and is high-fiving the opposing pitcher. They handle it very well. This is a great baseball moment, good sportsmanship. Fernando Rodney's arrow might be the most annoying thing in baseball, but Zobrist and Fernando Rodney used to play together in Tampa. They know each other well. And
right.
I think they both... This is a great, fun baseball way to end a game.
I was slightly bothered for 0.1 seconds when it happened. Just a 0.1 second, and then I calmed down, and then I kind of thought it was funny. And well, Rodney was, you know, on the Cubs last year, and I love Ben Zobrist, and there goes the music. But
that means the segment's over.
Hogue headlines is done.
What's the verdict?
Oh, there is not one person, who didn't like Hogue's headlines via the text line. Which might be a small but yet vocal group of voters. There could be people out there that don't like Texas that don't like it. But according to the text line, we're all in. And Allison Williams is sexy. Whoever texted that in from the 773, yes.
That's hard to argue against.
So sexy. But I love Shosh. I love them all. I love every one of them.
We got a yes from Madison, Wisconsin. We're huge in Madtown.
Hashtag Madtown. Love Madtown. That was a great job by you, Adam. I really, really, really enjoyed Hogue's headlines. And forever...
You sound kind of sarcastic right now.
No, if I sound that way, I apologize. It's
like the whole John Williams thing. Figure you out.
I'm trying to be... You know, this is the real calm right here. I'm not being...
I love the real calm.
So, like, when I'm being sarcastic, I want it to be overly obvious that I'm being sarcastic. And I apologize. I don't sound super sincere. I enjoyed Hogue headlines. I did. I'm all in.
Okay. Well, there's good news.
Yeah.
Because I have more coming up. Sort of. This is a new segment now.
Okay.
We're getting to just regular Chicago Bears talk coming up.
Okay.
It's rookie mini camp.
Okay.
Pulling double duty this weekend. Spent the last two mornings at... Well, all day yesterday.
When are we talking about your White Sox article?
We'll get to that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune news. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
Coming up next, Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, talked today about Leonard Floyd and some of the other additions that the Bears have made on his defense. Some very interesting comments on Leonard Floyd that I think Bears fans need to hear. So we'll get to that next. It's 720 WGN. Back here on the beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here. We're here till 7 o'clock, and I want to get some Bears talk in for you. It's been a quiet couple of weeks since the NFL draft, but rookie minicamp going on at Hallis Hall this weekend, which, look, for the most part, it's rookie minicamp. There's a bunch of guys running around right now that are getting to live the NFL dream for one weekend, and then they're going to get, you know.
They don't hit at minicamp, do they?
Pads don't go on until Bourbon A.
Right. So they're just running around in shorts and doing patterns and whatnot?
Correct.
What do they do for an offensive lineman at a rookie minicamp? What
it's,
does he stand
it's
for?
Tough. It's more like just sort of walkthrough techniques.
Are you allowed to watch rookie minicamp?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Is it?
well, it's better than sitting in a room with all the...
Not today when it was freezing cold. Yesterday when it was sunny, it was nice.
Did you have a ski hat? Did you properly dress
no.
for
it? It wasn't... Okay.
This is ski hat weather for outside.
Yeah. It was a little chilly today, but it was fine. You know, whatever. What was interesting, though, was the same thing as yesterday. When practice got over, we got a chance to talk to... First of all, can you believe this? Yesterday was the first time we've talked to new offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins since he was promoted to the job in January. January.
They've been hiding Dowell Loggins at Hallis Hall somewhere?
They did the same thing last year, though, when they hired Adam Gase and Vic Fangio. We didn't get a chance to talk to them until rookie minicamp.
What is this, the Beatles? You got to hide your offensive coordinator away? That's one of the weirdest references I've gone with in a while. Okay, how was Dowell Loggins after they hid Dowell Loggins away?
I thought he was good.
He's a good Dowell.
I think Bears fans are going to like their coordinators this year in terms of actually getting some information more than from their head coach.
Really? Because I feel like they're going to miss Adam Gase, the one guy that could get along with Jay Cutler and get something out
but
of him.
But Dowell Loggins got along with Jay Cutler, too. That's part of the reason why they just promoted him instead of bringing someone in from the outside.
Okay. I'm not sure about that whole transition. Just.
I think it's going to be fine.
Okay.
I think the bigger question is, what does Loggins' play calling look like and putting everyone in the right positions? All right. Here's what I want to get to, though.
Can we play Kenny Loggins for Dowell Loggins? Let's get some tunes
no,
for going.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
I don't know why I can't really
can
dial in a serious Dowell Loggins right now.
312-981-7200. You can shut down Karm on that one.
Would you rather
vote
hear
no?
Would you rather hear Kenny Loggins' music or talk about Dowell Loggins? We're asking a lot of questions. Yeah. What
fine,
do you get?
But we're going to talk about Vic Fangio because Fangio.
I love Fangio.
I think Fangio's great every time he talks. I think he's always candid and he's not afraid to call out his players publicly like he did with Kyle Fuller last year. And today he was asked a bunch of questions. Starting with Leonard Floyd, because here's Leonard Floyd, number 9 overall pick, who the Bears traded up to get, and he's light. He's not strong yet. And the question, which is fair, and this is a good chunk of Fangio today, basically everything he had to say about Leonard Floyd, but it started with, how do you envision using Floyd to start? Can he be an every down player, or is he going to have to be more of a specialist?
You know, that's yet to be determined. You know, we'll see how he does here the next month and a half and then in training camp, and then we'll have a good feel going from there. But the weight thing's not a big thing with me. He's going to weigh somewhere between 230 and 235. That's just what he's going to weigh. So we knew that before we drafted him, so it's not a big issue. We knew that, and that's a fact, and that's what he is.
Does he remind you of anyone?
Parts of him, but not the whole package.
Ryan Pace said that you were one of the guys that liked him a lot, you know, coming out of college. What did you see that maybe didn't show up on the stat sheet? Because he didn't really fill out the stat sheet, but what did you like about him?
Well, he's very athletic. He's long. He can run. He's got good instincts. They use them all over the place, so I think he has good football intelligence, which we'll see if that translates here. So there was a lot of things to like from his athletic ability, movement. He got some pass rush talent. He can play in coverage. He's got talent for that. So his versatility along with his athleticism and length.
Have you coached guys, Vic, who maybe weren't great pass rushers in college but came to the NFL and became great pass rushers?
You know, nobody comes to mind immediately, but he's shown that he's a good pass rusher in college. He just doesn't have the numbers to support that on a piece of paper. But a lot of that's due to the way they used him, too.
Nick, how much experience does he have rushing with the hand in the dirt? And if it's not vast, what's the process of trying to teach him that?
Well, he doesn't have to put his hand in the dirt.
In the nickel, there won't be a priority?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. When you look at your experience developing linebackers and how you could apply that to Leonard, what are the steps that you're going to start off with? What do you need to get to know about him to understand how you want to do
it? Well, I think you just put him in there, teach him like you've taught everybody for the first few weeks, and then you make your adjustments the more you learn about the player, what his strengths and weaknesses are, what he can learn, what he can't learn. You start getting a vision for how he'll fit in for this season's team along with a long-term vision. So it'll be an ongoing process.
His speed, how much did you want that as a threat maybe to pair with maybe the power that Mel or the Lamar?
Well, we wanted the speed. You know, our team speed up front last year was below average. So to add somebody with some speed as part of in his toolbox was something that we were intrigued by.
What's different? What did you see from Leonard Floyd at the point of attack in college?
Well, he's got length, and so that can help him ward off people from getting into his body. He's going to have to be quick and sudden with his take on. You know, he's not going to be able to wrestle people as much, but, you know, so much of whether you win or lose on a block happens early in the down, doesn't happen late in the down. So we're just going to have to make sure his technique's sound and being quick and explosive and decisive with his take on.
A few more. Ability to do those things is why you feel confident about the weight not being an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be able to do that and do it well enough. I'm sure there's going to be a play or two every game where you're going to say, geez, he's not heavy enough or he's too light. But hopefully there'll be a few plays every game, too, that we say, well, geez, we didn't have anybody that could have done that in the past. So, you know, he is what he is.
All right, so a lot from Vic Fangio there, including that last bite. Some people could look at that and say, you just said he is what he is about your ninth overall draft pick. But I actually think that entire thing provides good context. A lot of people worried about the weight. And we have to take a break for news, but we'll get into this on the other side. A little bit of a fluctuation and maybe not everyone on the same page about where Leonard Floyd's weight actually is or will be. Because what Vic Fangio said today was not what Ryan Pace said a couple weeks ago. So we can get into that, but just the fact that Fangio, who's usually honest, said there's probably going to be a play every game or two that you're going to say, man, he's just not heavy enough. He's too light. But what the Bears believe is that there's going to be more plays in which, and this was the quote that Fangio used today, well, geez, we didn't have anybody who could have done that in the past. That's why they drafted him.
Well, I like the fact that Fangio wanted him because I trust that guy's football intuition.
I do too.
So there,
and you're just listening to him there talk about that. And I got a lot more coming up after the news from Fangio too, just on the importance of the inside linebacker position and the upgrades they've made there. So we can get and just hear listening to him talk about football to me is fascinating.
Yeah, you're a Fangio man. I am too.
I'm a Fangio
fan of the Fange.
That's right.
He's the type of guy that you see at a deli. He's just mowing down in a tuna salad.
By the way, I think, I don't know if I can prove this, but the Bears must have the two shortest coordinators in the NFL.
Fangio is what, 5'7"?
I believe close to there, and Dow Loggins is 5'5".
Fangio's got a great belly, too. He does a nice, solid, I don't work out, I eat too many carbs belly. I respect that as I'm settling to that myself.
All right,
that's the weirdest thing I've said today, and I've said a lot of weird things. He also wears he's very comfortable in a sweatpant.
Yes,
he wears
he has the head to toe gray sweatpants with no hood.
I think that guy goes to dinner
in sweatpants.
In sweatpants at like nice restaurants,
probably. All right, we're way late for a break. 720 WGN.
A little Footloose, huh?
I'm cool with that.
I never actually saw Footloose in its entirety.
I'm not sure I have either.
Yeah, but like I'm older than you, and everyone in my outstanding era, I feel like everybody watched Footloose but me. I like the scene where they're going down the train.
Don't
chicken
care.
Game.
Don't care.
That's what we want to talk about right now. Footloose. 720 WGN.
Don't
I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. Adam Hogue was living at Bears mini camp today. Do they know the Bears? Do they know that they're a non-story until November? Because we're gonna have the World Series in this town. Have they figured that out yet? You should be asking that. Is there any more days of mini camp? Do you have one more day?
There's one more day tomorrow. I actually sort of had that conversation today with somebody.
Who's talking tomorrow?
Leonard Floyd's talking tomorrow.
What about John Fox?
John Fox talks every day.
You got to ask Fox, are you worried that you're not going to get any coverage because the Cubs and White Sox are going to be in the World Series? Can you ask him that question?
Don't think he cares.
Yeah, Fox doesn't care.
He'll probably be really happy if we don't talk
to him.
How
about if you just ask him, hey, John, what do you think of the baseball season this year? Are you paying any attention to Cubs and Sox?
Well, we did ask him questions about the Hawks last year during the
What did he say?
He was going to the games. He loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we talk about Vic Fangio and what he said about Leonard Floyd. I also want to get to what he said about the improvements they've made up the middle of the defense. Because if you looked at that Bears defense last year, there was a big problem up the middle. I mean, starting at defensive tackle, going to the inside linebackers, and then to safety. That was really the weak spot of the Bears defense. So this is what he had to say about some of the improvements that they made both in free agency and through the NFL draft.
Well, we're anxious to see them get on the field there. You know, we've made some additions at inside backer and up front and some in the secondary, a little bit all over. So, you know, it's going to be that time these next month or so to kind of get a feel where it all fits together and maybe see what type of defense we'll be.
Vic, specifically with Trevathan, what intrigues you about him and what he can bring to this defense?
Well, he's athletic. He's got good speed. He's got a good nose for the game, you know, inside there, does a good job of finding the ball. But really overwhelming, you know, the most tangible thing is he's athletic and he is fast.
What do you like about his presence and the way he, you know, just kind of his attitude that he brings?
Well, we haven't seen that yet because we haven't been on the field. But any good presence, any good winning attitude, which he should have coming from where he came from, will be welcomed.
What does the defense gain from having instinctive inside linebackers?
The inside linebacker position and the safety position are the two positions that instincts are very critical, and it can make up for a lot of, tough plays getting them handled when the guy's instinctive enough and recognizes it quick enough. So it's a very major thing to play that position.
What is the best way to kind of illustrate or just explain how much better you feel year one to year two, last year's guys getting experience, the new guys on the roster? How much better do you feel about what you have to work with and what you can do with this?
Well,
second year?
I think we have some better pieces to work with for sure. The one thing that we'll have to get honed up quickly is, you know, we are vastly new at the inside linebacker position, so the carryover from year one to year two is not there at that position. And that's a critical position when you're talking about that, because those guys are kind of the quarterback of the defense. They're in between everybody. So I think as fast as those guys learn how to quarterback the defense, feel comfortable in what we're doing, and we feel comfortable with them, we'll determine how fast and how well we improve.
Do you miss Shea McClellan?
Is Kwiatkowski anything at all like him instinctively, or just the player? Is there any kind of comparison?
A little bit. But a little bit. That's what I'll say right now. We'll see.
Kwiatkowski.
That last question was if Kwiatkowski is similar to Chris Borland, who Vic Fangio coached in San Francisco.
What did
and
we?
Surprisingly, I was not the one who asked the question about Chris Borland.
In Adam Ho's top five things you learned at Bears minicamp so far.
Well, here's what I found interesting about that. What we just played. You made two pretty solid signings at inside linebacker with Danny Trevathan and
right.
Jarrell Freeman. And
Broncos and the Colts.
While I say that Vic Fangio is always pretty honest with us, it's sort of relative to the rest of the team, right? Because the thing was, remember, this was the same guy last year who was like, I love Shea. Shea's great. Shea's doing a good job, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's not going to run down
and then,
players.
Let's be honest, they didn't want to re-sign him. And it was a very quick and easy bye-bye to Shea when the season was over. And then they go out, and what's been the biggest priority really in the offseason was that inside linebacker position right away. And now you hear Vic talk about how important it is. Right? So they go from Shea McClellan and Christian Jones to two veterans who have been playing that position for a long time and at a high level. And yet you hear Vic kind of lowering expectations, saying, hey, this is important. This is the one spot where we're new. And that's really where it's got to all come together. And I think it will. I found that very interesting today, hearing what Vic Fangio had to say.
Vic Fangio, Chicago Bears. How many wins right now on May the whatever it is, 14th?
How many wins? You know what's interesting is
I know it's a moronic question, but I'm asking it anyway.
Yeah. When we did our, remember we did that New Year's special that played on like Christmas Eve or something, Christmas Day, talking about predictions for the new year?
I do.
And I believe my big prediction for the year was that the Bears would make the playoffs. When I went through the schedule, though, a few weeks ago, I actually still had them at 8-8.
Hamp, OB, and Kaz all had them at 11-5. And they all had them not losing a game in the second half of the season.
That means there's going to be a lot of yelling this year.
Great.
Can we get to one more Bears thing before we let you talk about the NBA?
Or we... Sure.
This is short.
Do it.
But did you hear what... Do it. Did you hear what Antrell Roll said about the practice?
I know. Yes, that's the worst that he's ever experienced.
And he basically blamed his injury on it?
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit over the top, but okay.
I was surprised that John Fox, who likes to avoid most questions, the way he answered that today.
Oh, okay.
He was asked about Antrell Roll, Antrell Roll's comments, which were pretty critical in saying that certainly we've heard that Soldier Field's not great, but...
Yeah, I never heard the practice facility.
I'd never really heard that either.
And we've walked on the practice facility. I mean...
It surprised me, but this is what John Fox said today when he was asked about that.
Well, we're trying to get better at everything, including our fields. So I think they're in a lot better shape this time this year than they were a year ago. And, anytime you come in and, trying to create a winning culture, I think... The list is long, and I think we're trying to improve in all areas.
Did you voice any complaints earlier, or any other players voice their concerns about the field last year?
Nothing that comes to mind, no.
What are you doing different to get the field better?
Seeding it.
Putting more time into it, more effort. We've resodded. We've done quite a bit of stuff, and our guys are working very hard to make it better. I think it was pretty worn down. I think it was a pretty brutal winter, I think, the year before. So, we had some catch-up to do. Obviously, the warm weather, when it does hit, is helpful.
So, look, this is a sensitive subject with this franchise. And that wasn't the most insightful comment ever from John Fox, but he also didn't deny it. That's what I found interesting. He addressed it and basically said, yeah, it was an issue, and we're working on it.
I mean, I got a headache listening to the... I'm sure he's a fine fellow and a great grandfather to his grandkids, if he has grandkids. And I'm not an ageist here. Give me an older coach, great. Joel Madden's not... he's in his 60s, the whole deal here, so don't read it like that. My father's 90 years old, and I'd hire him to do a million things. But... We're trying to get better at everything, including our fields.
Well, that's the way John Fox admits.
I know,
to
come on, man.
It's all a problem.
Just come straight at me one time. He's right. The field wasn't great, and we're working on it. Yeah, we're trying to get better. I think we're hoping that our toilet flushing mechanisms will be better next year. We want the water to actually swirl in a quicker manner, and so we can they'll refill quicker for the next person to come. I mean, come on.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but also from somebody who deals with them on a daily basis, I was surprised at actually how candid that is. I know that didn't sound candid, but for him admit that it was a problem, I was surprised he did that. But I'm trying to give him credit for it.
Yeah, and
in his own John Foxy way.
I feel you, and that was you're absolutely right. That for him was extremely candid. I'd go with John Fox, even though it was. At best, minorly candid. But apparently the practice fields are bad? No one's on that practice field other than them. Like, the problem with Soldier Field is that there's more stuff going on. You got soccer matches. You've got multiple-use facility, right? It's not just
and
the Bears.
And they've actually improved the Soldier Field's been better the last 2 years.
Right. You wouldn't think that out at Hallis Hall in beautiful Lake Forest, where every lawn is the most manicured lawn you could ever have, that they would struggle... Having a good practice field.
It just goes back
to... Talking about practice.
I know, but I think what it goes back to is that with John Fox and Ryan Pace in charge, this stuff's not going to fly. Like, they're going to address these things. It's much like...
Yeah, man, we're going to have to look at the practice fields too, man. Can you do your Ryan Pace for me?
Yeah, man, well, it's an issue, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to get it fixed, guys. It's going to be really good, and... I just can't wait to get back out there on the field.
Brian, why is it like at the 50-yard line that it seems to struggle the most?
Well, you know, that's where most of the plays get played. So, you know, a lot of the foot traffic goes on there at the 50. And you know, man, we're gonna work it out, and it'll be fine. Just trust me here, guys. We got the best in the business working on this, and when it comes down to it, we'll get it fixed.
Last one, Ryan, before we have to go to break here on 720 WGN. Kevin White didn't see the field last year. That's your number one overall draft pick. A lot of people are kind of wondering what Kevin White's going to be, if he's going to be anything. Are you still confident?
Look, this kid has the greatest attitude I've ever seen, and I really just, guys, you gotta see him when he gets back out there. You gotta see him. He's in such better shape. We're not worried about it at all. You know, I'm predicting 100 touchdowns this year. It's going to be outstanding.
Not Ryan Pace joining us here on 720 WGN.
By the way, can I just say,
you do a great Ryan Pace. Yeah, man. It's just so cool, man. I love being the general manager of the Bears, man. It's so awesome, man. I picture myself, man, which is cool that he sounds like he's, you know, in Dazed and Confused. I'm pro.
I like talking to him a lot.
Yeah, man, no, we're just going to chill out via Jeff Fox. We're going to go up and sit on the beanbag, man, and just, you know.
Have you heard what they're saying about Kevin White?
No, I missed that. That he's
the greatest person of all time?
The greatest person of all time. I've heard a million times. This guy, you just got to love him, man. He's
but
amazing.
It's not just Pace. It's Fox did it yesterday. Dow Loggins did it yesterday.
He's just an awesome guy.
Just love his attitude.
He's the best.
Well, you know, he's just got the greatest attitude, and he's going
to
be great.
Is he going to be on the field and catch a football, with all due respect?
Well, you know.
I just love him, man. He's my first overall draft pick. Yeah, we're always going to be linked together, and yeah, man. 720 WGN.
7:20 WGN. Want to address the text real quick here. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. Here till 7 o'clock, and we were just talking about the Bears and John. We played what John Fox had to say about the practice fields over at Hallis Hall, which Antrell Roll criticized on his way out of town.
Foxy,
and Fox basically said it's, you know, they're going to work on it and improve it.
It's good,
and I made the point that basically that John Fox and Ryan Pace are running this thing like a championship organization, and these issues are going to be dealt with. At least that's the feeling that I get in the, what has it been, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 or so months that they've been here in Chicago. And someone texted Adam, the ownership runs that franchise. A coach is just that, an employee.
Which is true.
It's a true statement from 773. But I can tell you from talking to George McCaskey as recently as the NFL owners meetings in March, that the structure of this organization right now, sure, that he's the owner, the chairman of the board, so to speak, but Ryan Pace, John Fox reports to Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace reports to Ted Phillips. And George trusts Ted to make the decisions. If Ryan Pace wants a new TV monitor, or John Fox wants to, this is something I don't think fans really know, because it's something we only see at practice, but they went from Mark Trestman using like basically a megaphone to blast music at practice to a DJ with giant speakers at practice last year.
It's Joe Madden-esque.
These are the type of improvements that, like, they seem small, they seem like almost not even necessary, but John Fox has been around the block a few times. He knows what is needed to have a successful football team, whether it's speakers or Ryan Pace bringing in Jen Gibson, a former Olympian nutritionist who's now dealing with the Bears. And that's what people need to understand. Ryan Pace has made over 30 hires since he took over. So they're running this place differently. And what you need to know is John Fox, Ryan Pace are getting what they want. Yes, they need to be approved by Ted Phillips, who basically has the freedom to approve things.
So you're saying the Bears are hiring good people and empowering them.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good formula.
And ultimately, the only thing that will matter is whether or not they win football games.
Yes.
But as someone who is there and around Hallis Hall a lot and lived through the Mark Trestman era,
yeah, I was going to say
the Phil Emery era.
It's better than hiring people that are out over their skis and shouldn't be in the position that you put them in.
We talked about this last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago, but Phil Emery, I think you asked me, seem like a one man, just I'm smarter than everyone else in the room type of guy. Or maybe you asked me that about Ryan Pace.
I did ask you about Ryan Pace.
And I said, no, Phil Emery seemed that way. Ryan seems like the guy who's delegating responsibilities all across the board, getting opinions from everybody and coming together with one, you know, decision that makes the most sense.
That will, well, hey, one more day.
I think it's going to pay off. I don't know if it's this year, but I think they're going to start winning football games real soon.
One more day of minicamp tomorrow. When we come back after the 6 o'clock news, I think, well, we're going to delve into this, that Anthony Rizzo is telling us stuff about his personal life through the way he comes to the plate at Wrigley Field.
This is a Mark Carmen special.
We're going to investigate. It's it, and we need your help. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
Rizzo high and deep to right. Is it going to stay fair? It is! Home run, Anthony Rizzo, as the Nationals are arguing that that ball was foul.
It hit the flag.
For now, it's 3-2.
Back here on the beat, 720 WGN. Adam Hogan and Mark Carmen here with you till 7 o'clock.
I'm on the case right now. This is investigator prying into people's personal lives without their permission. My name is Mark Carmen. You're Adam Hoag, 720 WGN.
What are you about to do?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about it, but it's just all fun and games here. Let's not take it too seriously. But so I'm at Wrigley on Tuesday night, right?
Okay.
And I'm, for whatever reason, I start to get into show mode, and I start paying attention to the Cubs walk-up songs. And we're going to do something a little bit more in-depth on this tomorrow.
Which game was this?
This was Tuesday night.
So this was a boring game?
Yeah,
You're worried about the walk-up song?
Well, the Cubs players get to choose their walk-up songs.
Right.
So Anthony Rizzo comes up early in the ball game, and we get a little bit of this.
Take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now
kick
we
it
got
in.
Bad blood. Hey, now we got problems.
Yeah. Coming to the plate. Anthony Rizzo. Okay.
What did he do on the at bat?
No idea. But I was like, is he really going bad blood, Taylor Swift? Because if you look at the lyrics, maybe he just likes Taylor Swift. That's possible. But, you know, now we got bad blood because, you know, it used to be mad love. So now take a look at what you've done because, baby, now we've got bad blood. I mean, that's if you're telling a girl that, I mean, you got bad blood.
Bad blood.
I mean, something wrong happened. Now, Next time he comes up, not bad blood. We're going to go with something different. He plays a Brent Eldridge song, Drunk on Your Love.
The rest of the night's kind of blurry, now the sun's peeking through the shades. I can't help but laugh, cause I kind of like feeling this way. I woke up, still drunk on your love.
So now, now check me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
First time he's coming up, he had bad blood. All right.
Now he's drunk on your love.
Now he's drunk on your love. So, in my Mark Carmen old school Columbo, who's the detective of the 2016s? I go old school Columbo trench coat look. That's my favorite detective.
Hank Voight.
Hank Voight?
From Chicago PD.
Okay. So, you know, I'm breaking out my Hank Voight hat here.
Okay.
Old school Columbo. The second she walked through the door, I caught a buzz. One taste from your lips knocked me out just like a drug. The rest of the night's kind of blurry. Now the sun's peeking through the shades. I mean, that sounds like a winning situation to me. Bad blood, losing situation.
So what are you insinuating here?
My take on this is that Anthony Rizzo was with someone that went awry. He's playing bad blood for her. And then he's also playing his new song, Brent Eldridge, Drunk on Your Love, to show her that now he's moved on and something's going on and that whole deal. What do you think?
So you think she was in attendance at the game?
No, maybe watching on TV or whatever. She can't control that.
You can't hear the music on TV that well. Maybe not enough to pay attention to it.
Give me bad blood again, please. Can I get bad blood one more time?
Now, I mean, we've got women outside the studio right now rocking to Bad Blood.
You got to rock to it.
If somebody plays Bad Blood, don't you think there was a breakup?
What if you just like the song?
Well, you got, I mean, who, you got to listen to the words here. It's your walk-up song. Bad Blood, it means something to him. This is deep down in the fabric of Anthony Rizzo. Huh?
I've heard this song. I like this song. I've never really thought about what it meant, ever.
Well, that's because you're just a guy that lives on the surface. You're not going into the deep emotions of
I'm
Anthony Rizzo.
I'm not a deep emotional guy like Anthony Rizzo.
Now, okay, give me the other one now, Dan. Brett Eldridge, next coming up there. Here comes Drunk on Your Love. Oh, well, give me in 1 second. But it's completely different. I think Rizzo's got
to... Maybe they were both in attendance, and he told one, hey, listen to the first song, that's for you, baby. And then he said to the second one, hey, listen to this one, it's definitely for you, baby.
I mean, like David Ross, every time he comes up, it's the same tune. You know, he wants, it's that whole, what does Ross play? Can't believe that just slipped my mind. I'm getting old here.
I don't know what he plays. I don't know the Cubs walk-up songs. Well, yeah, I don't know the White Sox walk-up songs. I'm worried about like what's happening in the game.
When it's a World Series season, you there's no detail that should not be paid close attention to. So then Drunk on Your Love. Laying here with you all day. Huh? And don't worry, he's not... drinking per se, Cubs fans. He's just drunk on her love.
See, if he's drinking too, he's allowed to.
Well, we don't want him drunk in the morning. I don't want. Be ready for the game. You make a lot of money. You can drink in the off season heavily if you'd like. I'm not saying you can't have a couple beers, but to me, Anthony Rizzo has gone through some trauma and he's in a better place, and that's why he's killing the baseball.
630, are you saying that baseball players use the walk-up song to express their emotions? Can you say passive-aggressive?
I'm an expert in passive-aggressive behavior. Nobody's more afraid of confronting someone than I am. I do it in weird ways. So, yes, I think it's very possible that baseball players can be passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive Rizzo. He's always quiet, you know, although he's actually... Rizzo's had moments where he's been very much not passive-aggressive, where he's attacked the Cincinnati Reds. That was a great moment in Rizzo time. I think
I've got... Did you go into the clubhouse and ask him about this?
Now, see, that, and then that's the question. Now, how do I do that exactly?
You go in there, and you say, hey, Anthony, no microphone. This has got to be an off-the-record conversation. Or... on the record, but without a microphone. Because you can't just stick a microphone in his face and go, hey, Anthony, what's going on with your walk-up songs? You have to say, hey, Anthony, I was sitting in the stands the other day, and I couldn't help but notice that you rocked some Taylor Swift on your first at-bat. Then you went to Brett Eldridge. That's his name?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I got to look it up again. Yes,
I know that song.
Brett Eldridge, yeah. Yes, Drunk on Your Love.
I'm like a fake closet country fan. I like country music all of a sudden, and I don't really know anything about it.
I enjoy good country.
It's kind of like if I started watching the UFC. Wouldn't know what I'm doing, but I'd be like, hey, this is okay.
Right. I mean, we're going to take the show on the road to Nashville at some point. Dan Long, you're coming.
I need to go to Nashville.
Okay. So maybe we'll all go down and listen to some country music. I like, you know, I'm not a country music fan, but I can listen to me some country every now and then. Taylor, I had wildest dreams Taylor Swift today in the car. It really got me going.
I thought you just...
No, I wasn't going
there. It took me a second to process what you said. I thought you were saying that you had a wild dream about Taylor Swift, and
no,
it really got you going.
I don't know Taylor.
I thought that's what you said. Like, I had to process your statement you said in the car.
I've had...
I don't want you dreaming in the car.
And I don't dream about Taylor Swift. As much as I respect her incredible musical talents, I have not had any dreams about Taylor Swift. So that's it. That's all I got
okay.
for you. I agree with you, actually. I go in there, I say, hey, can I ask you an off-the-record question? It's a little bit weird, but your walk-up songs, I just wasn't...
Anything going on there?
What happens if something is? You know, Rizzo might hit me in the face and I could get banned from the clubhouse and it'd be all over for me.
I don't think he would get mad about it.
Really?
No.
I'm reading into your walk-up songs, and I'm wondering if perhaps something's going on in
your... Now, he might think you're creepy.
I mean, it's really none of my business. In the history of none of my business, that would be completely none of my business. So I don't think I can ask him. Just have,
and yeah, you just spent 11 minutes talking about it.
Well,
on the radio.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, bring something to the table that we all should look at. I think we all want Anthony to be feeling well, doing well.
There's a guy on our on our text line right now just going off on the White Sox.
Oh,
like he's really mad. Should we talk about what I wrote this week?
Sure. Yes, let's do that. Coming back here, it's Adam Hoge's piece on the White Sox this week was epic. One of your best pieces.
Really?
Yes, I loved it. I mean, okay. It was a long piece.
You said epic, I didn't know where you were going.
I liked it.
Okay.
I thought you did a great job. And you've got a great movie tribute in there that we'll invoke in the conversation. Last stop, the Big Apple. The Southsiders, those White Sox, look to slam the door on the Yankees as they close out their series in New York. The White Sox and the Yankees, that's tomorrow, Sunday, at noon on WGN-TV. Adam Hoge's apology to his favorite baseball team coming back on 720 WGN. Amy Guth warming up in the old WGN bullpen. The Saturday night special will be here at 7. We'll talk to Amy around 6:55 or so.
By the way, I heard from sources, WGN radio sources,
yes,
who were very impressed with Amy's knowledge of the horse.
Oh, it was no doubt.
Last week, strong in the Kentucky Derby,
strong performance as per usual.
Now she didn't win. I don't believe she won.
No, she didn't.
But
Rokan won, and everybody on the Rokan show won as well.
Apparently, somehow they all won.
They followed the lead of Rokan, who I ran into this week and said, "Whatever you're doing for the Preakness, I'll be in on that. I'll roll your Rokan-ness to hopefully wealth and fame and fortune."
Anyway, Amy knew what she was talking about.
She did,
and I just heard from some sources who were impressed.
You're not going to reveal your sources?
No. Stephanie Menendez.
Upper management was impressed, as were others, if Amy is listening as she's preparing for her show. Okay, so one of the favorite things of the week is going through the Adam Hoge Twitter, because I want to see, you know, what Adam Hoge is doing at all times. And
it's a good way to follow what I'm doing at all times.
Yes, and I also like to go to WGNradio.com and see Adam Hoge's Bears blog. And this week, looking for the Bears blog, I actually ran into you writing about the White Sox.
Right. By the way, I will be writing about the Bears at the end of minicamp this weekend.
Oh.
I'll have a piece on all the rookies.
Okay, awesome.
Just as a teaser.
Outstanding.
Yep.
So, all right. Hang on a second here. I want to pull up the piece, which somehow it just got closed out on me. So you were pretty critical of the White Sox and how they were acting just like the Chicago Bulls were, as far as not perhaps trying to win. How would you put it?
What I was critical about was really it started. I mean, I've been critical of how they've played the last few years, but I don't think anyone can really doubt that. I mean, they're horrible defensively and bad base running. You just start to add up. What I was starting to get critical about with management was the trade deadline last year and how. Remember they had that winning streak right before the trade deadline, and it's sort of, I don't know what kind of effect it really had on what they ended up doing. But it seemed confusing how they didn't unload, they didn't trade away Jeff Samardzija, and then there were reports that they were also going after Cespedes, remember?
Yeah.
It just seemed, and then they get in the offseason, and they are trading for Todd Frazier and Brett Lowry, which, phenomenal moves, by the way, obviously. But then they wouldn't give Cespedes the money, they wouldn't give Alex Gordon the money, and it, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't. The direction of the team was like was confusing to me. I wrote about it multiple times. I didn't understand it.
Well, it was confusing to a lot of people. I would say most White Sox fans. Here's one of the paragraphs. You can check out the piece, WGNradio.com. Maybe the best way to put it, the White Sox are playing attractive baseball. Again, this is Hoge's writing. What we are witnessing with the Sox is rare in sports today. While most organizations are trigger happy, losing patience with executives and coaches, managers after just two or three seasons, the White Sox now look like the extreme example of patience getting rewarded. So that is the complete opposite. Hey, wake up, do something. Look, they waited it out and it's working out. Let's give them props for it.
Well, and I I wrote in the thing this week, my confidence level of this brain trust staying together. And when I say brain trust, it's everyone from Jerry Reinsdorf on the top to Robin Ventura and his what do you call him, assistants in baseball? You know what I mean? And it wasn't very high. I wrote in a piece this week, it was close to zero. I just didn't think that these guys were going to get it turned around. And obviously, look, there's been some struggles this week a little bit, but they're playing much better. No matter what the record is, they're playing, like you just mentioned, they're playing attractive baseball again.
11 games over, 4.5 games up, and we're all getting ready for a World Series on both sides of town in late October. And I know that sounds completely ridiculous, but I'll tell you what will be fun this year. And even when they're both terrible, I really don't understand why people are like, I don't like the Crosstown Classic. They shouldn't do that anymore. It's boring. Boring is Cubs, Padres, or White Sox, Orioles. That is boring. Yeah. Cubs, Sox, even if they both stink, it's a more entertaining game. And this year, with them both in the mix, and it's only four games this year, two on the south side, two on the north side, it's going to be great. And it'll be summer, and it'll be warm, and we'll all be living the dream. I'm looking forward to it. Sox fans, yes?
Did you like my Happy Gilmore reference?
I loved your Happy Gilmore reference. I'm stupid, you're smart.
Hey, turn my thing on.
Turn your thing on? Your ENPS mixer?
If you ask my brother...
That's not what I wanted to turn on. Turn your thing on. Your thing.
That might have been it.
I go out with my yard.
No, that's not me.
That's not you? Who would
be
you?
It must be something else playing through there. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that was a grand effort.
It was amazing effort.
When we come back after the 6:30 news, we'll give you the little audio from Happy Gilmore that you wanted to reference.
Yes.
So news is next on 720 WGN.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that now.
That was Adam Hogue to the White Sox. I think you're very good looking.
Literally, that was my apology this week. I think that's a great way to do it. I don't even know. Okay.
You don't need to apologize for anything.
It wasn't really an apology. It was an admission of being wrong, which I think sometimes in this business, Mark, we have to do.
Hey, I do it all the time.
We are not always right, David Jennings. We are just not correct all the time.
I take that back. I've never been wrong. I'll never be wrong. My takes are spot on. All right.
Some intense music right here.
Yeah, we got a chance for you to win something right now. It's not just for everyone, though. We're looking for the top of the top. We got a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for you. Lou Mal's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
Are you talking to the music?
Yes. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. So I got up this morning, Adam.
Yes.
Went to the gym.
I did not do that.
Got myself in a hoop game.
Unless you consider Hal's Hall a gym.
Not a gym. Not working out. Got myself in the gym. Played hoops. Two games of hoops. Pushing the cardio. Next thing I know, run right into a spin class. Got a person leading the class. More intensity. Tighten the thingy, make it, the whole deal.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you got to make more resistance. And their Carm was just battling. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm winning my workout.
You're winning your workout.
I'm winning my workout. I'm putting everything that I have
into
this.
Hashtag winning.
So then I thought to myself, you know what? There's other people in the Chicagoland area, 38 states, listening online, wherever you may be, that have won their workout today. And I think they should be rewarded for battling. And so if you worked out today,
you're going to reward them with pizza.
I'm going to reward you with pizza. 312-981-7200. The person who won their workout the most will get pizza, courtesy of WGN. Now, we do have our... We know that you can lie. That's why Dan Long is here. That's why Adam's here. And I'm here too, by the way.
We're looking for your
We will sniff you out
BS.
Of
BS.
Yeah, and 312.
This must be true.
981-7200. Who won their workout today? And we want to hear what you did. We'll take five contestants here. Five contestants. If you won your workout today, I don't care about yesterday. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm talking about a Saturday getting up. You could easily stay on the couch. You could easily stay in bed. You could do nothing. But you got up and you said, you know what? I'm out of this bed. I'm living this dream. I'm making myself better. I'm working on my, what I like to call the turtle, which is the expanding stomach. That, we're looking for the best of the best right now.
Why is it a turtle?
Because it's just like I'm like turtling. I don't know how to put it. It's an embarrassing.
It's a turtle.
Hashtag turtle. So if you won your workout.
Hashtag turtle.
And you. we want to reward you. And I know they're out there. So once.
Well, we get those calls set up.
Yes.
Can I just say that our text line today is.
On fire?
Incredible. Seriously, though. A lot of people chiming in via text today. We love you and appreciate that. 312-981-7200. Some interesting comments that I'll skip over. We get a lot of random stuff on the WGN text line that are like, I don't know if they're carried over from other shows.
Are you talking about the number one pet peeve about...
Yeah, the number one pet peeve for 12 years. Like, that's a very specific amount of years. Are you going to read the rest of that one?
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm not. Right.
I was just going to comment.
It was about adult entertainment in a home that not being done by adults.
What I was going to just comment on, a lot of the White Sox fans chiming in on the text line.
Yeah, they are.
In fact, Eaton is right in the baseball equivalent of genius. Ricky Renteria, what a pickup. Someone else wanted to basically say that Renteria is the difference, not Robin Ventura.
No, that's a little bit bold for me, but I like Ricky.
Yeah, let's give Robin some credit.
Let's give Robin and
Ricky. I do think Renteria was a great pickup for the White Sox, though.
All right, let's get to our people here, though. The workout champions of Chicago. Lines lit up like bam. I mean, people are getting after their stuff. Let's start with Portia. Portia, welcome to 720. Hello, Portia. Welcome to 720 WGN. I already like your energy, Portia. What did you do today? What was your workout?
Well, Saturdays I try to do two workouts. So I did an hour of a kickboxing class, and then I went to an Orange Theory class.
What?
So I burned 989 calories.
What
morning.
Is an Orange Theory
That's
class?
The new hot thing. Come on now. Portia, explain to Adam what Orange Theory is.
High-intensity interval training where we do treadmill work and then rowing and then lots of strength training on top of that.
Why is it orange?
It's the name of the company, you goof.
Yeah, it's the name of the company. It's heart rate training, and orange is like the level that you want your heart rate at.
Ah.
So you, wait, what time did you kickbox at?
That was at 9:30.
And what time was orange?
11:15.
And was that in the same facility?
No, I had to drive.
You had to drive
places.
Between two. Porsche, you're a strong candidate. And how many calories did you burn?
989.
And what have you eaten today?
Some yogurt, some berries, some almonds, a string cheese. I'm not a lot because I'm going out to dinner.
This is a phenomenal performance. All right, hang on, Porsche. You're definitely in the mix here. All right, people got work to
this
do.
This is the
I'm telling you,
Adam Hogue feels bad about himself segment.
That's a great ad out here. Mike, you're on 720 WGN. How'd you win the workout today, Mike?
My workout, I started at 5:30 this morning. I woke up, I had one cup of coffee. I went out, and I started on the tree line, started tree trimming and hauling the brush to the burn pile.
Uh-huh.
I wound up with a big burn pile.
Yeah.
And then I had to go out to the garden. I had to plant tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and all this stuff. And now I got to cover all this stuff up because
uh-huh.
it's going to be frost tonight, and I'm fighting the fabric because the wind's blowing.
Did you ever get your heart rate really moving, though, Mike?
No, this is my kind of workout.
No, it's been going all day, man. I've been going. I'm still going. I'm still trying to pin down this frost preventative stuff.
I bet you Mike has burned more calories than Portia did doing all this work all day.
You know what? I haven't even had a beer yet. I got
love it.
I got a six-pack in the fridge, and all I'm living on is Stromboni.
This is my guy,
Mike. What kind of six are you rolling when you're finally done today? We going with? I feel like we got an upper level Budweiser. What do we got?
No, we got Corona, baby.
There it is.
Oh yes,
there it is.
Mike is my guy.
All right, hang on, Mike. You're in there.
He just described like it sounds like he has a little bit more land than I do, but nice get up in the morning, do some yard work, have a couple Coronas.
I'm a big fan of Mike. Love what he's doing. Let's get Ryan in here. Ryan, how'd you win your workout, 720 WGN?
Yeah, so I woke up at 6 a.m. and I went and played 3 hours of basketball.
Where'd you do that? Yep, I want to know.
I actually run an open gym at my church every Saturday morning. This morning we had 25 guys there.
Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Well, I am, but I don't use it for that.
Well, you need to follow at the Carm, and then I'll follow you back, Mike. And then we gotta get on the email train so I know when the game is so I can join in.
I kind of want to come too.
Continue on. Go ahead.
All right. Well, it's out in Naperville, so.
Okay, I won't be coming to your game, but I still love you. Okay, 3 hours of hoop, then what happened?
That was 3 hours of basketball. Then I came home, and I took my granddaughter for a 2.5-mile walk.
Wow.
And as of now, I've got 20,000 steps, 10 miles, 3,200 calories burned. And the best thing is I'm beating my niece in a weekend warrior challenge by 8,000 steps.
How old is your niece?
My niece is 30, I think.
Okay, I'm beating my 8-year-old niece. Ryan, hang on. This is another strong candidate. We got strong candidates here. Two more. Patty, can you top this? You're on 720 WGN.
Hello.
Yes, Patty.
Hi. How are you?
We're great, Patty. How are you? What did you do today?
Okay, so I got up and went to the gym, and I'm old and recovering from two meniscus repairs, so I just did 2 miles, but I did, 4 or 5 machines, and I'm still walking around Lighthouse Place.
Patty, that's awesome. Way to battle. I can't ask you how old you are, Patty. That would be inappropriate.
Hey, I own it. I'm 58.
58 years old with two knee surgeries. What time were you at the gym?
I was there at 5:30 this morning, and then I'm still Lighthouse Place.
Patty, congratulations. Hang on a second. It's amazing to me how many people are able to forego sleep, get out of bed, and they're at the gym at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
It makes me feel really good about myself.
It's
if I even set my alarm for 5:30, my alarm would go off and be like,
are you kidding
me? Don't even fight it. You're going back to bed. My alarm would hit the snooze button for me.
All right, last one here. Sue, how'd you win your workout?
Hi. I don't know if I can beat Patty, Mike, Kevin, or Ryan, but I got to tell you that this morning I started working out. I'm 62 for the first time in 2 years. And I did jazzercise at 7 a.m., came home, baked a birthday cake for my granddaughter, and then I did an hour of strength training at my house with a trainer. And more than that, what made up most of my calories today was chasing around my 6-year-old grandkids at their birthday party.
Wow.
So that was my day.
Well, Sue, that's an incredible day. Congratulations. Way to go.
Thank you.
All right, hang on a second here. I don't know what to pick.
First of all 5 of these are good.
Porsche, Sue, Patty, Ryan, and Mike are all awesome.
And I don't think any of them are lying to us. They all sounded very credible and way too specific to be made up.
Quickly on the text line, if you want to weigh in who you think should win, Porsche, Ryan, Patty, Sue, or Mike, 312-981-7200. We'll have to just vote this out. Dan, who do you got? Hang on a second. No, that's you.
Nope, yeah, it was me. I'm just thinking Ryan with the 3 hours of basketball, just the rigorousness of the cardio.
Rigorousness of hoop.
For me, because I'm putting myself in his shoes.
But it's fun playing hoop, though. That's why I would downgrade Ryan, because playing basketball is not as – that's also why I would downgrade Mike. This is my own vote. So your vote is your vote. You're voting for Ryan?
Yeah, I'll go Ryan.
Okay, Ryan.
I think we're having the same problem we had earlier in the show when we had so many good responses that –
No, everybody's a winner.
Do we have two pizzas to give out?
Do we have two pizzas? Sure, why not? Yes.
Or is that ruining
your
day?
No, we do. We can give two. Oh, but if we're doing that, Dan, who's your second pick?
Now I'm on the spot again. I'm going to go Patty recovering from 2 torn meniscuses.
Okay, Ryan and Patty, go ahead.
I'm going to boo.
Quickly up against Amy Goetz next. Make your call, Hogue.
I'm going to give Patty a vote And then I'm going to give Mike a vote just because I love him.
So now we got Mike. So Patty is one. Patty did the, what did Patty do? Whatever she did, she was amazing. I can't follow my own notes. I think she did the 2.5 mile walk, 20,000 steps, the whole deal. That was the Hooper. Okay, I can't vote for Ryan because he lives the dream too much. Mike, the yard work guy.
He did a lot of yard work today.
Yeah.
And now he has to cover it all up because he wasn't listening to WGN early enough and didn't hear that there was a frost advisory.
All right. Ryan.
Now he's got to scramble and get all that covered up.
So we got Patty and Mike. Hang on a second. Portia, we love you. Sorry you didn't win, but thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Continued success. Love, Portia. Sue, great effort by you. We love you, Sue.
Thanks so much.
You are welcome. And what do we do? We got Ryan, you're the man. Keep running that game to the levels that you run it. I feel like we have to say goodbye to everybody. I'm so emotional right now. Thanks, Ryan.
All right.
My man. Yeah, I think Ryan was mad. Mainly mad at me because I shot Ryan down. All right.
Yeah, because you're not going to his basketball game.
Mike, congratulations, pal.
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, I'm tearing down these damn fabric and it's blowing all over the place out here. Finally.
Got you, Mike. Bad connection there, but we love you. And Patty, congrats, Patty. What did you do again?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, me? I was walking around Lighthouse Place just now, and I went to the gym this morning, did a couple miles, did
machine. Yeah, yeah, you're the 58-year-old Dominic.
I don't even look 58, though. I'm gonna beat this. And I have to tell you, now I have to add to this, because I don't even look my age. I was shopping at a vitamin store to buy my son that just deployed to Iraq 3-4 days ago.
Wow.
His protein bars. So
good job, Patty.
Go Army.
Go Army, indeed.
Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it.
Up against the break. Congrats to everybody. Win the workout.
Do we have time to play what we were going to play?
What were we going to play?
You have, like, the memory of, like, a goldfish.
That's not nice.
You were the one that wanted to play it. Dave Edit singing?
Yeah, we're going to play it. Come right back.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
We're doing that.
All right.
We're playing Dave Edit karaoke. Coming back right after this. 720 WGN. This was something special from the Steve Cochran Show.
Dave, you got one?
Well, I did have a brief karaoke career.
All right. What
it was
your,
one
what,
time.
What was your song?
Your song.
Elton John, your song.
Your
That's
song.
That's not an easy song to sing.
Let's hear it.
Here you go. No.
Dave Edit does Elton John's
I don't think we need
song.
To. I don't think we really need to do it.
Come on. Yeah, what are the lyrics? Because I forget.
You can tell it.
Everybody. This is your song.
Listen to that.
Maybe simple. Quite simple, but
now that you're gone, now that it's gone.
Yeah, now that you're
I hope you don't gone. Mind. I hope you don't mind. See, I can't hit those notes
no,
anymore.
No, but that was good. You kind of want Barry White on.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
And you can tell everybody.
Oh, that's good stuff.
This was my wedding song.
Is that right?
Yes, Krista and I, we danced to this song. It was our first dance.
That is so beautiful. Maybe someday I'll get married.
Maybe. I will be there.
Yes, you will.
I will be there singing this song for you.
And
I'll get Dave to come and sing it.
That would be beautiful. I'll invite you and Dave, and you'll both like not be, just so like you, as much as you should be able to bring your wives, like I think you guys should come as a date and just sing a duet, and it would be beautiful. I've got some work to do to get to that point. Here comes Amy Guth walking into the studio.
Did you just uninvite our wives to your
I did, but
non-existent
wedding? I didn't mean it, though, of course. I would never.
Really weird.
Yeah, well, it's, hey, Amy.
Hey, there's been 4 hours of weirdness.
I think you guys are sort of in a fight or something today, aren't you? What's going
on? Oh, that's life.
Can you talk about your feelings or something? You guys were a little snipey to each other earlier.
You think so? Yeah. I thought we were in love today. Although I've used the word love too much on the show. Somebody texted that and I agree.
Did you hear him prying into Anthony Rizzo's love life with his through his walk-up songs?
He comes up
a little bit.
Amy, he comes up to Bad Blood. Now we've got Bad Blood.
Yeah.
And then the next tune is about...
What would your at-bat music be?
I have to think about that. What
I think
would
it would be Dave Ennett singing your song.
That was pretty awesome.
I would not
be my walk-up song.
That was awesome, but I would not pick Dave Ennett. I could do like a little old school Tom Petty, possibly running down a dream little moment.
All right. Okay. What about you? What would be your at bat music?
Because that's a fun tune for everybody. You know, everybody be fired up for me.